The Shining Wizards podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
Alright, welcome to episode 773 of the Shining Wizards podcast, and tonight we got a packed show for you. Instead of just a corner, we got the whole hand job room for you as Kyle from the Apron Bump podcast is sitting in for HK, who's probably off in Mexico losing a kidney right now. Plus, we are joined by B2 himself, Mr. Bill Booyah Buchanan at 8 o'clock. So just like Santa in a few days, let's start it by emptying our sacks with some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Brando.
Double T. Your microphone's not on, stupid.
Handsome Kyle.
I hate that you make me mute it because I never talk. Tony.
Yeah. I don't make you mute it.
Mute your mics, assholes.
That's something you usually say.
Yeah, well, I didn't.
All right.
Kyle,
how are you? That was
really
abusive. I'm good. Glad to appreciate the invite, by the way. Fourth chair sitting in the whole time. If there's anything that everybody loves, it's a two-hour hand job. So glad to be here on this holiday edition. 2 hour. I mean, it can never go too long. 2 hour hand job?
Yeah, 2 hour hand job.
No spit, all friction. That's what they call me. But yeah, happy to be here, boys.
No spit, all friction. Well, somebody from Mexico is awake. Hi, Molly.
How Hola.
Yeah, well, you know, he's doing the same exact thing he would do in Minnesota, just in Mexico. So,
how many circles has Kevin run this morning already?
Walked. He doesn't run. He walks.
Oh, he walks. That's right. He walks with a pointless.
Those tiny little feet.
You think when he walks, it makes like Twinkle Toes Flintstone when he's bowling, like ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding.
Maybe.
Sure.
The 2 hour hand job sounds fit. Did you? I'm going to ask this because it's just going to open a whole other box of worms. When you were in your youth, did you ever jerk off so much that you started to like rip the skin off your dick?
Sure did. It was like at my peak of masturbating. So like college. So not as a child. I think in college I got a little too aggressive with it. So I had to pull back a little bit. Okay. But I'm clean now. All good.
Yeah, no, I meant like not now. If I mean now, that's that'd be.
No, it's good now. It's fine.
Yeah.
No issues.
Good. That's what I like to hear.
Was it the stress from being in school? Like,
was possibly.
Was it boredom?
Well, column A, column B. I mean, surrounded by college ladies, gals, things of that ilk. It was a recipe for, a lot of blood.
You have to put new skin on it?
Once you figure out what it's for, you just go at it.
Sure. Yeah, why stop?
What it's for, baby, don't hurt me.
Don't jerk me. No more.
Love it.
Somebody on the show really likes the way I sing.
I do. I love the way Tony sings. So, Kyle, happy that you're here. Brendo, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, you ready for the holiday season?
Yeah, I think I actually am, for once.
Your son does not listen to the show, does he?
Yeah, he does.
He does. Well, no, only if he's in the car with my wife.
Okay.
And so how your wife listens to it.
He's 13. So, okay, you don't spoil anything for him.
Okay, so I was just going to ask. I didn't know. I don't want to ruin it.
Wait, all the shit we've said on the show and you're worried about spoiling Santa Claus? Are you serious? Yeah, are you all the other heinous shit we talk about and that's the thing that you're hung up on?
I'm not hung up on it, but I think it's not my position to pull back the curtain on Santa Claus on somebody else's child.
But you're the same guy who brought up Jeannie Bisson last week doing porn and then you were wondering why we spent an hour on Babepedia.
That's when I was hoping he wasn't listening, because that's usually when they drive home.
Your wife goes, hey, let's listen to what your father's talking about.
Yeah, let's see if your father's talking about wrestling, not, some celebrity porn site.
Well, I mean, that's Double T bringing that shit up. That's all him.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't think it would go the way it went.
Hey, Kyle, let me ask you a question.
3 inches flaccid, 2 erect.
All right, let me ask him the follow-up question.
Okay.
What countries are synonymous with bullfighting?
Ooh. Mexico and Spain?
Very good answer. One of the wizards who's not here tonight didn't realize that they had bullfighting in Spain.
That's right. He said they killed them in one country and ran from them in the other?
Yes.
Like you can only choose one?
Handsome Kevin must have had fucking Mexico on the mind when he was recording with Duke this past week. Another great episode of Year of Duke and Rogue came out today. One of the hosts knew what he was talking about. We'll let you decide when you listen.
That's usually true for both his shows.
Yeah.
Not even here to defend himself.
Fuck him.
Well, I mean, Molly's here, and if she tells him, then he's going to fucking come on, and it's going to be just a disaster.
He's not going to be able to figure out how to do it from mobile.
Take him to the discoteca or something, Molly. Don't let him near the show.
He couldn't get on ESPN. He can't figure out how to unsubscribe to TNA. Like, yeah, he's not getting onto that.
I mean, he doesn't have to scan a QR code to get on here.
Oh, God forbid. It'd
be really funny if we sent Molly the link and she joined us.
Molly just talks wonderful lady.
And she just talks shit about Kevin for 20 minutes.
It'll be like when Rhiannon comes on.
Oh, fucking A.
Tony, how are you over there in Ginzo land?
Well, now that my microphone's not muted, I'm doing fantastic.
All right. Are you ready for the holidays?
Yeah. You know what? I finished all my shit today. I got some last minute things. My son might not be getting one of his presents in the mail in time because it's coming from Austria, but that's his problem, not mine. So there you go.
All right. Good.
What's coming from Austria?
There's this gigantic meathead in Austria who develops his own like workout equipment that a lot of like the main guys like swear by. So for his birthday, he got the chest expander, and for Christmas, he was going to get the squeezer. So instead of pulling out like this, it's an apparatus where you squeeze. So you work like all the other muscles.
Sure.
But it's got to come from Austria. It's got to clear customs, all that.
Just get him a fucking accordion.
No, he is Polish a little bit. And Spanish. They have accordions in Spain too, Write that down, HK.
Oh my God. Kyle, you ready for the holiday season?
I guess. Yeah, I think we're there. Sure. Sure, why not?
What are you doing for Christmas? What are you doing for Christmas, Kyle?
You assume it's Christmas? It's a little tough in 2025. Could be a Kwanzaa boy.
Could be. And you wouldn't be wasting a night of Hanukkah on the show, would you?
No, that's not very Jewish. So I would definitely not do that. Okay.
That's good. Smart.
Yeah, yeah. But no, just staying local, not running off to Mexico for weird reasons like some other people.
I don't know if it's weird reasons. I think it's just Handsome Kevin reasons, which are weird to everyone else, but completely normal for him.
I mean, there's got to be some. Why does he keep going there? What's he running from?
I think he secretly wants to be Jesse Ventura. fellow Mexican?
No, you know what it is? He's big in Mexico.
He's taller than most people.
Yeah, he goes down there. He's bigger than everybody. He likes it.
He's a dwarf among midgets.
There we go. It's all making sense. It's all coming together.
Oh boy, this is gonna next week's show. The first half an hour is gonna be him screaming at us about all this nonsense.
That'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Hey, are we doing the Death Pool next week?
Yes, next week is our Death Pool draft.
Great, because I have to start going through my list, and so this way I can win again next year.
Oh, whoa, we got 9 days left. Don't.
What? Hand job. If you had a guess in the next 9 days in the world of wrestling, who's dropping dead?
Who, man?
Who's not spending the holidays with their family this year?
Why do you have to say it like that?
Hacksaw is going down for sure, I think.
Wow.
Jim Duggan. Ooh. Yeah.
See, I don't know. He just put out a video with his wife. They're traveling for the holidays. Not unlike Vince McMahon.
So it's probably going to be like a helicopter accident or something. You know what I mean?
Yes, because that's how Hacksaw and Jim Duggan traveled. By helicopter.
You don't know him. He could be different nowadays. You could fit a 2x4 in a helicopter. We got a little Jack Daniel up there, Double T.
Yeah, I'm going to have a holiday drink with my friends for the podcast.
If I would
have
known, I would have grabbed my shit, dude. Now I feel like I got to leave the show and go get a bottle. What are you drinking there, Brundlefly?
A nice, cool glass of water.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Fucking Wawa Jr. over here opening his fucking Coca-Cola.
Now, let me ask you guys this.
You got a butter roll over there, too, or a bag of Bugles or fucking...
Got a gobbler on deck.
Oh, dude, gobblers are fucking amazing.
Is there like a Christmas hoagie from Wawa?
I don't think so.
They put tinsel on a fucking, on a fucking mortadella sandwich.
Well, it's not like a gobbler makes sense either.
No, a gobbler makes absolute sense.
But yeah, put a bunch of gravy and fucking mashed potatoes on a wheat bread.
Cocksucker. No, but gravy, it's got to have the gravy, the mashed potatoes, the corn, the turkey. You got to put a little cranberry on there. Maybe I don't know if you got Cosi where you are, but Cosi does them right. I wish I had one around here.
Don't have a Cosi. No.
Oh, my God. They put them on like toasted flatbread. They load them shits up. When you bite on one side, it squirts out the other. That's a good fucking sandwich.
Fucking drops are unbelievable.
I mean,
I was what
the,
was I
the title oh, potential?
I was listening to last week's episode while I was uploading the Ethan Page interview that will be dropping Friday in the vault on YouTube. And there were Brundo dropped a couple ones. I was like, oh, I got to go back and get those for the soundboard.
Good stuff.
Do your significant others, do they feed into the wrestling sickness? Do you get wrestling gifts for Christmas?
Oh, God. That's all I get. I got like Funko Pops back there that all like my nieces give me and aunts and uncles and all that.
Yeah.
All wrestling and yeah.
I usually get books or maybe a shirt or something like that.
I'd rather not. Because I'm a little particular with what I like to get when it comes to wrestling. So like Matt knows, my wife bought me the Wrestling Superstore accessory set. When am I going to fucking play with a fucking table that breaks or a ladder or a fucking guardrail? Yeah, but like that's the thing. Like people try because like, oh, you're a wrestling fan. Now, she did get me a great wrestling t-shirt last year. So that was a plus.
Yeah, it's not the like Wrestling Superstore. Fucking Sheamus DVDs for Christmas.
Now that's a plus. Why would you not want to add that to your collection?
I think I threw it out.
Well, wait, do you see what Sheamus you got this year, buddy?
Yeah, it was like
there was an add-on gift when I did my shopping at a WWE shop that Christmas, and they had the Sheamus DVDs for like 99 cents, so everybody got a stocking stuffer to go along with their gift. What's wrong with that?
That's a heartful gift.
A heartful?
What do you say? Were you trying to say hurtful or heartful?
No, heartful. You know, from the heart.
Oh, like heartfelt?
Yeah.
Oh, heartful kind of works, I guess. I've never really heard that before.
You're full of heart.
It's full
Owen
of
heart?
I hope not.
Dropping presents everywhere. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E.
Wolf.
Wolfy edit.
Let's talk. Where do you guys?
John Cena retired last week.
We already talked about that, Tony. We're going to move on from that.
No, because Gunther's fucking telling everybody to go cry about it. It's amazing. Well, I
love it.
They're setting up Gunther and AJ Styles, no?
Seems like it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Career killer Gunther?
That's it, man. He's going to murder everyone.
Let me ask you guys this. I saw somebody post this on the interwebs yesterday. Do you think it is a miss if Gunther doesn't win the Rumble or the Elimination Chamber?
I think he's above the title.
No.
I think the career killer arc will do more for him than just winning a title belt.
So do you think he's going to be the one eventually to retire AJ and or Brock Lesnar next year?
Yeah.
Yes.
So then I can agree that this is not 2026 is not going to be his year for a championship. I think they stretch that out into 2027 where he's done all that he needed to do to get to that point. And then his last act of defiance is, you know, like, I'm your uncrowned champion. I've been retiring all these stalwarts. I'm coming for the championship and I don't care who has it. There you go.
I think so. I concur.
It's not a bad arc. I mean, they stretched out Cody Rhodes and people bitched about it the first year, but then all was right with the world. So I could completely see them doing that with Gunther.
Yeah, because I mean, look, you can win all the titles in the world, but like, if you don't have anything to like sink your teeth, like Damian Priest, he was world champion. What'd that do for him?
Jey Uso, same thing.
Jey Uso, and I think, like you said, he can just spend this whole year like AJ, Brock, Orton, maybe, and then next year, like you said, hop right into that title. Because I think next year is gonna be like Braun Breaker, Punk, Seth. Like, I think that's gonna be the scene. So there's no rush, in my opinion, with Big Goon.
What do you call him? Sorry, what do you call him?
Big Goon.
Big Goon.
He goons a lot.
Like I like that.
Rubbing my skin off my wiener. Me and him, same guy.
Is he a gooner? Really?
That's what I hear. That's what the internet says.
Really? He just got married last year too, didn't he?
Ginny, yeah.
I really don't
know. Gooner married?
Fucking Brundo on a first name basis over here with Gunther.
Do I really want to put Gooner in my Google search?
No. Oh, well, yeah, go ahead. You know what? You deserve it.
What, are you going to not do the research for the show?
Yeah, absolutely. Click every single link you got on there from that.
Yeah, and it also has nothing to do with Arsenal, by the way. So just fucking ignore that. I don't know why that's associated with this.
Apparently it is a devoted fan of the Arsenal Football Club.
No. Go to the secondary.
Gooners, that's what they're called.
Someone who is deeply engrossed in pornography or excessive masturbation, often in self-deprecating or exaggerating way, stemming from gooning.
Okay, Gooner.
Hey, Goon. Put the strap on him.
No strap-ons.
No strap.
Strap on, strap off.
No.
I'm saying, folks?
Also, like, I watched some Netflix show. And they wrote nunce all over this dude's truck, and I had to Google what a nunce was in the UK. It's like a kid toucher.
A nunce?
Yeah.
Is it nunce or knots?
I don't know.
Knots are like what they travel in the ocean, right? You travel like 7
wasn't it nonce? Nonce.
N-O-N-C-A or no?
Nonce?
N-O-N-C-E.
Yeah, that's like I didn't know that's what that meant, but I know that's like a UK swear over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
UK meeting.
You fucking nunce.
Yeah.
It's like a slag.
Fucking happy birthday, Al.
Happy birthday, Al.
Nunce. Happy birthday, Al. Nunce. Really? Ready? We're gonna summon the fucking Zoom off already?
Yeah, why not?
You don't have to you didn't have to pull up the comment.
I didn't.
Who did?
That was me.
Yeah, seriously. Why did I get blamed for everything, bro?
Because you're like...
I'm like what?
You're like the biggest Zumhoff, like...
What, fan? Yes, yeah. He's my hero.
I would walk that back, buddy.
Well, Kevin's the only guy that can like people from Minnesota?
No, you can... First of all, there's a lot of other people from Minnesota you can like... Definitely not putting the word hero and Buck Zumhoff in the same sentence is a good idea.
You don't think somebody growing up was a fan of the Zoom off?
Yeah, but how are you still a fan after?
Okay, sure, so there's I'm people.
Sure plenty of people that weren't grown ups are no longer fans of the Zoom off.
Yeah, but like, all right, let's take the Hulkster for example. Like the Hulkster said some things that a lot of people didn't like, so they were fans of the Hulkster when they were kids, but maybe not so much now. Maybe, you know, a couple of kids running around in Minnesota who were fans of rock and roll.
Yeah, but Hulkster didn't touch those kids.
Exactly. Hulkster said a couple of words.
Right, if you're like, Colin B, am I wrong, Kyle?
I don't know. His words land him in a, you know, pedo jail.
Yes.
Yeah, what's worse? What's worse, everybody? N-word or pedophile? Go. Brundo, you're first.
Oh, pedophile.
What do you prefer? It probably is the answer.
Column A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it like a double negative is a positive kind of thing?
I don't think
if you do both, it's good.
Two wrongs make a right. Is that what they say?
Two wrongs make a white.
Wow.
Say it because he's like Filipino.
No, I'm wowing Al. Yeah, a couple kids from Minnesota and they host a year of pod. Holy shit. Wow.
You know, I could see Duke being an adorable kid with that long hair.
Oh, my God. He was definitely molestable when he was a child.
Oh, man. Wrapping his hair around his hand.
Nice big tussle.
I bet Duke had the same voice, too, back then.
A little tussle. I could see somebody trying to give him one of them lollipops with, like, the rainbow swirl on it. Like, one of them real big ones.
Are those real?
What?
Are those real?
Yeah, of course they're real.
Why are you fucking covering your mouth like we're having a mound visit during the middle of a baseball game? Yeah, they're real.
Slider inside.
Did you guys know who Jim Florentine is, right? The comedian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember he used to tell stories that like he had a neighbor, an older guy who had like autographed pictures of all these wrestlers that he liked when he was a kid. And like the guy would give him pictures, but then the guy would also molest them. And he didn't tell anybody because he really liked getting the pictures from the guy.
It's called bartering. Ever heard of it?
And somebody wanted to tell on him. He's like, no, don't, because I really like these pictures.
I bet you this guy's just signing fucking 8x10s in his house, too.
Or he's at the airport.
Holy shit.
All right, so yeah. Gunther's next move, we think it's going to be AJ Styles, right? I got to ask you guys, because I have such a fucking problem
with
the way the WWE does stuff. Why is Austin Theory unmasking himself?
What do you want him to do? Lose a match?
No, why can't Punk get so close to grabbing him that the only thing he can grab is his mask and he rips it off while Austin Theory's pulling away?
Because Adam Pearce said he had to unmask. And, you know, obviously he's in charge. I'm not saying it's a good reason.
It's just so fucking storytelling.
Yeah.
Why did he need the mask in the first place? He works there. He can just show up.
Yeah, but it was also like he did the curb stomp. So I was like, oh, is it Seth? Is he back already? Is he sticking it to Punk? You know.
What does Theory get out of that?
He's in the Vision now.
Yeah, he gets one over on fucking on CM Punk.
Maybe it'll be like Americano. There'll be another mask, man. It'll be Jericho next week unmasking.
Or like the Black Scorpion, just throw whoever under the mask.
Yeah, Ole Anderson speaking for them, for the grave.
Yeah. There could be more masked men. I mean, the guy the week before was definitely not Austin Theory. So we saw those eyes.
There's not him. Like scorpion it up.
Remember when everybody thought it was Jericho?
Did everybody think it was Jericho though?
That would have been phenomenal.
Yeah, except he doesn't climb a fence so fast.
No, he'll be back at the Rumble.
You think?
Yeah, his contract's up at the end of the year.
You think he wins?
No.
You think he comes like real early, gets a couple of eliminations, one of those deals?
He'll probably come in late as a big, like a number 30 surprise.
No, I think they'll bring him in early to fucking get the crowd riled up.
You think the Saudi crowd will be riled up?
Yeah, Saudi crowd, they'll be riled up.
Just bring in 2 o'clock start.
Fuck yes.
Yes. Loving that.
I'm going to love watching a Royal Rumble without having to make picks.
I'm only two behind, Tony.
You know, we got picks this weekend, Tony.
My number two's behind me, too.
You know, we got a pay per view Sunday or Saturday, World's End.
TNA?
No, AEW.
Oh, great. AEW. Another fucking marathon.
Catch up on.
Don't hate. And then Raw and SmackDown, they taped already, or Raw's taped?
Yeah. Raw and SmackDown are both taped. AEW's all taped.
Who said it? They were taping SmackDown for this week during last week's like airing. Like what kind of shit is that?
So they don't have to be out on the road the day after Christmas?
No, but it's weird. Like so you taped like so did they miss a week somewhere? Did they just tape 2 weeks at once? Like what did they do?
No, they taped SmackDown during Raw last Monday.
Oh god.
And then they did I guess the other taping, I think this weekend sometime.
Yeah, I think SmackDown they taped Raw.
So they're making fans pull an AEW and sit through 6 hours of wrestling.
Pretty much.
Oof.
I don't know about 6 hours. If they just do the backstage stuff can be recorded. I mean, if you go and you look at Raw, there's probably like 40 minutes of wrestling.
Yeah, but they probably splice all that shit in so the crowd's not lost, right? Like they wouldn't just tape 40 minutes of wrestling, you know?
I don't know. The only TV tape I've been to two TV tapings ever, that Impact taping at above the Hammerstein Ballroom at the Manhattan Center. Mm-hmm. And then that MLW show I went to, which was way worse than anything. I mean, no, that's not true. It's not worse than fucking AEW Grand Slam at the fucking Arthur Ashe place.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
You were like three sheets to the wind in the parking lot, weren't you?
No.
I thought you were hammered for that show.
See here, don't. This is how we get fucking me singing.
Is that where you took your shirt off or was that a baseball game?
And then you shit your pants and washed them in the porta potty. I remember.
Fuck yeah.
I took my shirt off at the baseball game, yes. That was before Ring of Honor. Ring of the Honor, Jericho Cruise, best in the world.
Yeah, that was the ice cream.
Yeah.
There's no ice cream. You motherfuckers. You motherfuckers.
Bro, just own it. Stop.
I didn't do it. Bo Buchanan will be here at 7:55.
So we taking a commercial at 8?
Come on, man. It's Bo Buchanan. You're not excited for Bo Buchanan.
Who said I wasn't excited for Bull Buchanan?
We're looking to take a break 5 minutes after the poor guy shows up.
No, because we normally take a break around 8 o'clock. That's why I'm asking.
Do you need to take a break?
No, not right now.
I'll fucking kill you and that stupid duck. Where do you guys, how are you feeling about the Vision? Like, where are you guys with this thing? Like, he unmasks, he distracts Punk, Bron Breakker hits this crazy spear. I don't know. Like, Austin Theory, I know HK is not here to defend himself, and I know he's super excited for Austin Theory. It doesn't, I don't know. The picture from Monday night or Friday night, whatever, he just looks like a fucking Shield cosplay wrestler now with his new gear, or he looks like he pissed his pants.
Yes, 100% that. And I've never given, I don't think I've ever given a shit about Austin Theory. Maybe in NXT when he was part of Johnny Gargano's group and he was a goofball. But they've been trying to make him for how many years and it's never worked.
Can we let it simmer? Can we let it simmer? Can we do that?
Nah.
Yeah. A little bit. See where it goes.
I don't know.
He looks mean. He looks ornery. He looks like he's ready to throw it in.
He looks like fucking mean. Daniel Garcia.
No, fucking bite your tongue.
100% does. My friend said
Danny
that.
Danny Garcia with 30 pounds more muscle and actual fucking gear.
Oh, here we go, Tony.
Well, Monday, you only saw the face. Garcia.
Not for anything, but if you hear Daniel Garcia, you would expect him to look a little more like a luchador and not just some fucking schlub in biker shorts.
Sorry. So if you threw a mask on him, you'd be all for it.
No, because he'd have to be El Garcia or something like that.
Why? Daniel.
Because then he would be a fucking luchador, yeah.
Miguel Garcia.
Miguel is even better. Daniel Garcia makes no sense. Miguel Garcia, now you got some legs.
Daniel, you can go Daniel Garcia as a Mexican name.
No, you can't.
They're not allowed.
Daniel's a Hebrew name.
It's fucking pro wrestling.
Is that his real name? It probably is, right?
Probably not. It's probably Manuel D'Angel.
Alejandro.
Garcia Rodriguez. He's got four names. Most of them do, believe me. I know.
It is. It is.
What's wrong with you?
He is American, though.
Mexican American.
Oi.
Buffalo dickhead.
He's a Buffalo dickhead?
No, Buffalo he's dickhead? From Buffalo, you dickhead.
What does that mean? He's a Buffalo dickhead.
I didn't say that, you shithead.
Sound like you did.
Our guy, True Prince of Pro, says the same thing. Austin Theory is one of the most bland wrestlers ever, and I don't understand why they keep trying to make him a star.
Yeah, he's just going to be the fall guy of the Vision.
He's a star. Remember when Vince McMahon gave him that $1 million egg?
Oh, man, then he was off to the moon.
Fuck yeah, he was.
I don't think I've thought about that since he did it.
Golden egg.
You think Vince got that idea because he took a shit on a table and it looked shiny and he was like, look, I laid a golden egg. Hey, Austin, get in here. No, not you, you bald prick. Theory. What? You took a shit? What? It's on the table. What? It looks like an egg. What?
Beat Deborah.
Strap it to the kid. What?
Jesus Christ. You really make me work.
Made an egg? Fucking awesome.
Oh, man. No, you couldn't pay me to give a shit about Daniel Garcia. Or, fucking, what's his name? Austin Theory. Austin Theory. Austin Theory would, I would like for them to try him as a babyface. I feel like there's potential there. Because he has like a fun, like he could do fun moves and he can get the crowd into it. And like when he was goofy, like Brenda was saying, like that's when he was like, you know, that's when I think he would have had the most momentum. But now he's just bald guy with pants.
That's it. He's fucking cosplay Shield guy.
Yep.
Stupid. Yeah. And you're right, Kyle. He's going to be the fucking fall guy. He's going to be the guy that gets pinned.
They should change his name to Momentum. And then everything like he does, like, oh, I got a little momentum behind me tonight. He teams up with somebody, like they could be like, you know, like the motions or something like that. And he's like, hey, momentum is behind you, my friend.
These are all great ideas.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. It's just like, and then like on the flip side, like Drew McIntyre is once again like in the main event scene, like. He's like Teflon Don, right? Like, he can keep losing, and it never really affects him, but I think at this point, like, he has to win the title at this Clash in Berlin or whatever the fuck they're calling it, the SmackDown show that's in Berlin.
I hope he does.
Sure, why not?
They put some stip on the match, didn't they?
Is it a Berlin brawl?
No, somewhere like Cody can't touch him or he loses
anarchy him. In Auschwitz.
Jesus.
Come on now.
Happy Hanukkah.
No. What are we doing?
Quack. That's the reset.
Where's the fucking thing?
The last thing I saw was that Cody kicked his ass in at his home.
Let's see. Yeah, that was the thing last week, right? Cody Drew's match stipulation.
I mean, if he's not going to win the title, what's the point of them continuing the feud? Scott Steiner maybe and getting himself involved?
Tony.
What am I doing?
It might be the fire truck by my house.
Hey, hand job Kyle, you want some local news?
No, you stop!
The town next door to me, someone was murdered by getting shot from an arrow. The weapon of murder, the murder implement was a fucking crossbow and arrow.
That rules.
Jeez.
Yeah, and it was a fucking 6-hour standoff with the SWAT team and everything. Jeez. And it was not Newark, in case you were wondering.
No, it wasn't.
It was Kearney, New Jersey. The reason I don't have the stipulation in the notes is because this is yet
Brundle
to air.
Didn't put it there. Brundle
no,
sucks.
It's yet to air. Something
yeah, eat
deep.
Shit.
No, eat balls.
Oh, sorry. No, that's for the other guy that's not here.
So that didn't air yet? You're spoiling things?
I didn't tell you what the stip was. I stopped myself.
Don't look it up. I don't give a shit.
Don't look it up. Don't spoil it.
Clash in Berlin.
Yeah, we don't care about spoilers anymore.
Yeah, people that are listening to us, they're obviously not tuning into Raw. So, oh God, is that it?
Yes.
No, wait a minute. They're running this back again? Wait, it's Bash in Berlin. It's not Bash in Berlin.
It's called It's not the pay per view. It's called Bash in Berlin. I think it's January 9th. I think it's a SmackDown.
Can we pick that?
No. Yeah.
SmackDown, Rundo. I know you're trying to make up picks here.
Exactly. You want to do them next year. Got to mix up some ground.
Spoiler on massive gimmick match booked for January 9th, WWE SmackDown in Berlin, Germany. Oh, God. Why are they making this so hard to find?
Because they don't want you to find it.
Oh, you know what? You know, we haven't done that kind of match in a long time. I'm actually digging that.
Inferno match?
No, probably older.
Really? Older?
How long has it been since we had one of those?
Buried Alive?
Triple H and
Austin, right?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Bro, that's over 20 years ago.
No, MVP and Kane had one in 2006.
Really? What would that be, HK? HK, HJK?
It's about time.
Sorry, Mr. J. It's hard to read. I'm getting
it. Yeah. He's calling me Job.
Oh, so right, okay. Job. MVP and Kane had an Inferno match in 2006.
No, it's not an Inferno match.
I know it's not an Inferno match.
Well, I'm telling them because that's what Kyle was thinking.
Right, Triple H and Shawn Michaels had one at Armageddon 2002.
Oh.
So that it's been damn near 25.
Oh, okay. I think it was not an Inferno match. Yeah, that was a rough one.
Yeah, but the first Inferno match was at that was even before Austin and Triple H.
Yeah, it was 1997.
It's not an Inferno match.
Is it a Ring of Fire match? Like Bray Wyatt and Kane had that one time.
That's right.
I want them to bring back the Bray Wyatt.
Bad news for you. Oh,
where they had the fucking bugs on the canvas.
That's what Tony wants, fucking bugs.
Who wrestled Bray Wyatt in the house? Was that Braun Strowman?
No, that was Randy Orton.
Oh, Randy Orton was in the house too? And they set the house on fire?
Yeah, Randy Orton's the one that set the house on fire.
My Randy said to your Randy, I'm going to set your house on fire.
The first Inferno match took place 2 years before.
Why are we talking about Inferno matches?
What's everybody's favorite Inferno match?
All of them are tied.
Probably, actually, yeah. I think they're all the same. Just different guys.
I like the one that Onita was involved in Japan, where they fucking almost set the entire fucking ring on fire.
Oh, with the Sheik and Sabu?
Fuck yeah.
Also, like, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the show, the Christmas conversation. Is it okay to tell people that Kane and The Undertaker aren't really brothers?
Why would you do that?
Well, because they're not.
No, they're really not.
I read the books. They are. Right? Yeah.
No. Well, Paul Bearer is Kane's dad.
Yeah, that's right. Half brothers.
When he fucking, dude, the interview with Paul Bearer and fucking Jerry Lawler, when they're talking about, so you slipped in a salami? Oh, yes. Fucking great shit.
Oh, boy.
Did you guys ever read that book, too? By the way, the Kane book, the Kane origin book.
No.
It was wonderful.
Was there a chapter on May 19th?
May 19th?
No, that was before May 19th. Gene Snitsky does make an appearance, though.
Oh, punting babies.
Yeah.
Wasn't his fault.
You think Glenn Jacobs was punting babies instead of kissing him when he was running for mayor?
Could be.
No.
Probably gets confused.
Got elected.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
That would be counterproductive.
No, it'd be awesome.
It establishes authority.
And we must respect it.
Yep.
No. I don't respect Kane. I never really liked Kane.
Oh, knock it off. Yes, you did.
No, I really didn't.
You weren't saying it's gotta be Kane.
No. Not really.
Really?
Yeah.
Kane not even like original Kane? Full body, full mask Kane? Didn't like him?
No, I hate it when he beat Austin for the fucking title in the first blood match. Ugh.
How about Blue Kane?
I'm not. I mean, I've seen the clips, but I don't. I've never really watched.
Gain?
I'm a big fan of JCW's cocaine.
I was going to say cocaine.
Yeah, although I didn't get to see this week's show yet because my internet was out Friday. So,
was this week's show when Violent J was looking for somebody to represent him to try to get his whatchamacallit back, his slice of the pie?
I don't know because I just said I didn't watch the show because my fucking internet.
I'm trying to see which episode you're up to. If I watched the most recent one, so
the last episode I watched had the Kerry Morton James Storm coal miner's glove on a pole match.
Then
J beating up or him and Big Vito fighting in the back.
The one that I watched is the one that you haven't seen yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, this show really screams Russo.
Oh my God! You don't even know the half of it.
I like it. I'm sorry.
I don't Vito. Know, I would. I got. I do have to check this out.
Vito's like in his 60s now.
That old?
That's what I thought somebody had said.
Very possible.
It's like dress Vito.
Yes. Yeah.
Somebody described. There's two commentators. One's a really big fat guy. Marky D keeps calling him Blue Meanie. But then the other guy, he said it looks like JR shit out his conjoined twin.
It's not very kind.
But it was a fucking killer description of the guy. No bullshitting.
Not Joe Drombowski?
Drombowski,
the other guy. Amato? Is that
name? Sure, I don't know. It's two fucking Italian guys.
Zach Amato. Big Vito, 61.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Former ECW legend, Skull Von Crush.
Does it bother you so much that Vince Russo's missing that tooth? Like, I can't help but notice it every time he's in the ring talking.
No, I didn't even know he was missing a tooth.
Oh, yeah. It's like a big fucking gaffer, like, right here.
Huh.
Now you're going to see it, and you're not going to unsee it. It's going to distract you. Bro.
All right, so
How soon until we get a Fago on a pole match?
I don't know.
Or do you think Russo doesn't know what Fago is?
Who doesn't know what Fago is?
Probably Russo.
They're going to call it. What did Big Vito say they were going to call it? Dago juice?
See, that's racist. What's wrong with him?
No. Come on. That's the character.
What, racist? Are we past that in 2025?
He wants to represent his people.
So he's gonna call something a racial slur. Good for him,
dude.
We're making progress, Kyle.
Wait, what was the slur? Fago juice?
No,
Dago.
Oh, is that a slur?
Really?
I've been calling everybody that. Bad news.
Joke's on you.
I guess so.
Mick Foley, he's quit the WWE.
Sure has. Oh, no. Yep. Walk it back. He's not renewing his contract in June, so he really hasn't quit. Let's be clear on that.
For the rest of the administration,
yeah,
he quit.
He took his ball and went home.
For a few years, yeah.
Yeah.
Then he'll be back.
Good for him.
Yeah. Sticking to his guns.
That's it. Not because of, you know, it's... A lot. We've dealt with a lot of wrestlers in the past, and a lot of them are pretty fickle.
Fickle.
So it's nice, you know. Hopefully, he sticks to his guns and he stands up for what he believes in.
And bang.
He believes in, and he doesn't want to take that TKO WWE money. Good for you, buddy.
Yes, I guess 5 years of Saudi money was enough.
You got another five on the table. That's why
he really sat through a lot.
Yep, he suffered.
Did he go to Saudi at all? I don't think so, right?
I don't think so.
Who do you think? Like, they've been bankrolling the WWE for what, close to 10 years now?
No, I know. But I was thinking, like, the only real big names have been, like, Taker, Taker, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, I guess Kane, right? He was involved in that.
Yes. Yeah. That also I don't even put
Kane in that category.
Is Kane a Hall of Famer?
Unfortunately,
yes.
Okay, so then, like, it is what it is.
Yeah, but
Austin Theory's going to be a Hall of Famer someday.
Who?
Austin Theory.
Excuse me?
16-time world champion, Austin Theory.
Fucking out of your balls.
Eat balls.
Thanks. Eat balls.
Did you guys watch NXT? Did you see the ref thing?
No, I didn't see that, but I've heard all about it this week.
I saw the clip, yeah.
Hey, yeah. You don't kick out, tough titties.
Right.
How it should be.
Although it really was kind of weird that the crowd, like, when they fucking don't ring the bell when the referee calls for the bell, it's like, come on. Come on.
No, come on. I'm with you. I think this goes back to something I was discussing with you guys a couple weeks ago. Like, it's all like, there's too much of like, this is the script and this is what we have to do, that when there's a fuck up, nobody knows how to react.
Yeah, because they all practice.
And there's nothing.
They don't train anymore. They practice.
But like, yeah, in this instance, like, if the ref's going to count three, you got to ring the fucking bell.
Yeah. The referee stood up, called for the bell, and the crowd just went silent because the bell didn't fucking ring.
Got one job.
Yeah.
It involves hands. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
You know what else I could do without?
What?
Can we stop with the forward rolls? Can we fucking stop with the forward rolls?
You don't like.
You want to run across the. You want to run across the ring to get momentum. You fucking roll toward the other corner. You fucking miss a dive off the top instead of just fucking eating shit. You got to do a fucking roll. Can we stop with the fucking rolls?
That's.
Can we stop training the rolls? There's no purpose for fucking rolling.
That's Grayson Waller's finisher. He forward rolls into a finisher.
It's a misdirection. You got to confuse your opponent and catch him off guard.
No, there's no confusing.
They're pretty stupid.
You know what happens when people jump off the top and nobody's there? You fucking crash and you sell it.
You eat shit.
You're preparing to fucking not hit the guy when you roll.
It's called quick reflexes. They see the movie. Oh, I gotta adjust.
When people used to dive off the top and miss their moves, it was a chance for the fucking babyface to get his heat back, to fucking start hulking up. What is this roly-poly shit? Knock it off.
People are evolving. Athletes are evolving.
No, they're evolving into rolling?
About it.
That's devolving into insect living.
What?
They're becoming bugs, roly-polies. Let's just roll everywhere. No.
You were just asking for bugs. Do you like? Are you pro-bugs or anti-bugs?
I am anti-bugs when it comes to my wrestling ring. Get them the fuck out.
Now, I am curious, though, because Kyle, you are a little younger than us, so where are you? And I know you go back, if you are not familiar, you should be by this point, but the Abram Bum Podcast is a fantastic vehicle where Kyle takes a journey through the 90s. He watches every promotion in chronological order, and he usually has a special guest that joins him from another podcast. As a younger man who grew up on I'm sure John Cena was your guy.
No, I'm not that young. I'm Attitude Era kid. Stone Cold, Rock, Hardy Boys, those are my guys.
So okay, but the stuff you were watching, the stuff you're doing in the Apron Bump, you haven't seen a lot of that, like 95 ECW and WWF and stuff like that.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, so that kind of derails my question. Where are you though with all this, with today's wrestling versus, you know, the stuff in the 90s?
I mean, the stuff from the 90s, it's very striking how much stronger the characters are. Like watching like Sid get in there and do nothing, but the crowd is so into him. Like him and there was a match where it was like him and Owen Hart, and they're just like staring each other down for like 3 minutes, like teasing the test of strength. The crowd is getting into it, and then he like bodies just a scoop slam. Everybody erupts. So it's like the less is more is what stands out to me when watching the older stuff. And I feel like, yes, current wrestling could take a page out of that for sure. Right. So a lot of like the rolling. Yeah, of course, like, dude. The Kalani Jordan thing where she like does like the rolling thunder, but instead of like flipping forward, she like stops and does a shooting star press. It's like you're just going in the opposite direction of the moment. So there's a ton of moves like that, which I agree is dumb. It's flash for the sake of flash. So yeah.
It's wild too, because there's so much like
rolling.
No, there's so much like footage available now where you can go and just see like how to be a good heel, how to be a fucking great baby face. Less is more. Like, I love Will Ospreay.
Right?
But he goes out there and he has a match and he uses every single move in his repertoire. And then none of it makes sense. Nobody's finisher matters anymore. It's very frustrating to watch, especially because I've been going back and watching a lot of stuff from like the 90s and the 80s. Like, it would just mean more if someone hit a finisher and they won. Like, what is Cody's finisher? The crossroads? The Cody cutter? It doesn't matter. He does it twice to every single opponent.
Yeah, he has to do it three times to finish people, just like Roman Reigns had to do the Superman punch like fucking three, four, five times.
That's not even his finisher, the fucking spear.
And there's like 16 people on the roster doing the spear right now.
Yep.
Who's the broad that runs up the ropes and does the fucking flippy stunner thing?
Sol Ruka.
Yeah, that's another move that could fucking go away, though.
Never.
There are times where it looks okay. Like her and Bailey, like Bailey kind of like kicked out of a roll up and then kind of fell into it. It felt natural. But yes, there are times where, yes, it feels very contrived.
Because Bailey's a pro. We talked
about, yeah, of course.
And we talked about it last week. Like that, her, the soul snatcher is what she calls it. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool finisher. I don't like it because I feel like it does more damage to her or the equal amount of damage as it does the opponent. It's cool. But then like she does like the thing on the rope where she like does a handstand on the rope. Like she does all these crazy gymnastic moves in one match. And it's like, I don't know, just gave it all away. Like, I know, but you shouldn't.
They mean nothing.
In one match.
They mean nothing in the storyline of the match. Nothing whatsoever.
All right. Besides the one wing angel, which never gets kicked out of,
Coda did.
Is there another finisher that if somebody hits it, you're like, that's it?
RKO. 100% RKO.
I don't think there is.
Yeah. Ooh. RKO is a good call.
I've seen that kicked out of.
Not often.
Has anyone often kicked a bronze spear?
I don't think so. Probably maybe in NXT, maybe yet. Early days, but. End of Days was a really protected one for a while.
Oh yeah.
Like they have they have an opportunity. Right, cuz if finishes matter and then someone does kick out of the finisher, it'll mean so much more.
3D, that was protected for decades.
Yeah.
They let the Motor City Machine Guns kick out of it.
Yeah.
And that was to put those guys over.
Yeah. And then they broke up like the next week.
That was like a story that fed into a story.
Yeah.
Like it was for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go on like a get off my lawn tangent.
No, fuck that. Sometimes you need shit to get off your lawn. I get it.
But it's, you know, there's no doubt that this day and age, the professional wrestlers are way more athletic, right?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, but sometimes it's too much for their own good. Like, keep it in your pocket for a while. Break it out when you need to break it out. You don't need to break it out on a fucking Wednesday night Dynamite every week. You don't.
Make it special.
To get back to Kyle's point earlier, plenty of matches with Randy Orton. He'll take a fucking headlock, take a guy down. The crowd starts booing. You know what he does? He fucking sits there and just lets them boo and boo and boo. And he's like, I'll fucking wait for you. You ain't telling me what to do. I fucking tell you what I'm doing. And he just waits for the crowd to quiet down. Then he fucking takes the guy up and then they go to their spots. It's being in control. It means so much more. Y'all make fun of Bruno with the fucking 3-minute bear hugs and shit like that. But that shit made sense. Trying to figure a way out. Try to get an escape. Try to get to the ropes. That's wrestling.
Even that's like wrestling.
Forward rolls ain't wrestling.
A more modern version, CM Punk's Mojo from 04. It was like 40 minutes of headlocks, but it was like the most captivating shit. Because like Bruno, like it was like Joe is trying to find his way out of it. And it was like building tension throughout the match. Like it was like a entertaining watch. Like there's a way to do these things to make it entertaining. Yeah.
Like the match we watched a couple of months ago was the Briscoes against Steen and what's his name? El Generico, the ladder match. Like there were big spots in that match, but there was so much more that they were just working the four of them like against each other. Like when the big shit happened, it made sense. It fit the story.
the bigot of shit. You know, it's weird. I'm reading that.
That is weird.
Bigot of shit. Wow.
Bigot of shit. I'm reading that Gorilla Monsoon book.
Yeah.
The fucking Gorilla Monsoon Muhammad Ali match took place on like a fucking random Tuesday night in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That fucking blows my mind.
Because Gorilla didn't even want to do it, right?
No, he did not want to do it.
Yeah.
But it's like...
Even in the interview after he fucking put him up in the airplane spin, he was like, he's got no business being in this ring with me. Fucking completely shit all over fucking Muhammad Ali. Had no desire to do it.
He wanted to protect the business.
Of course
he did. I mean, maybe Philly was a Tuesday town or something like that. Because, you know, back in the territory town days, they ran the same town every day.
Yeah. Or
every day of the week, the same time.
I don't know. It just seemed like
possible.
I guess I'm so programmed into like the big matches taking place on the weekend, you know?
Yeah.
To read that Muhammad Ali and Gorilla Monsoon, when they went toe to toe, was at a TV taping on a Tuesday night in Philadelphia. Jeez Louise. Our guest is here. So let's bring him in. I'm going to do that. And then.
Yeah, we're going to do this. We'll get the gimmick off.
I'm doing. All right, there. Right.
There we go.
Nailing it.
Yeah, no. You got it.
Are you trying to censor him?
Am I doing it or are you doing it, Tony?
I'm figuring it out. Hold on.
Oh, okay, I thought I was doing it. I don't want to mash a bunch of buttons.
No, there we go. We're good. Oh, there we go. That's what we wanted.
What's
almost?
Yeah. All right. I'm not bringing it. Bring him in.
You making me bring him in?
I don't want to mash the buttons.
There we go.
Stop there mashing buttons.
I didn't touch anything.
I'm not a part of this show.
Buchanan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you for taking time during this busy holiday season to jump on the podcast and talk.
Yeah,
a little.
Yeah, I've had to retreat to my basement office. Family starting to come in for the holidays, so I'm in Clark Griswold mode. I'm down here hiding.
You have 10,000 lights up on the front of the house yet?
Oh yeah, yeah. There, yeah. My family calls me Clark Griswold every year. Yeah.
Where do you rank Christmas Vacation among the holiday movies? It's got to be up in top five at least, right?
It's top two. Christmas Vacation, and probably Christmas Story.
Good call.
Followed closely by Elf. Yeah.
But all right, to you, Die Hard, Christmas movie or not Christmas movie?
Christmas movie, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
How about Gremlins, Christmas movie or?
I don't feel very Christmassy when I watch the Gremlins.
It's scary, that's why.
Yeah.
Now, Bull, I know you said your family's coming in. Do you have a cousin Eddie in your family?
You know what scares me the most is I might be cousin Eddie in the family. I'm not sure. But if I'm not, yeah, we've got quite a few of them. Yeah. I'm always afraid, and nobody ever says it, but I'm always afraid that I might be cousin Eddie. So
I don't think there's anything. Cousin Eddie's a good time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, Christmas Vacation, man, as I don't know, as we put it on sometimes and just let it play all through the holidays. I think one year there, me and my wife were still watching it way into February.
Well, some of the channels just air it nonstop on top of everything, too.
Yeah, that Christmas Story, that's almost a tradition around here is to watch Christmas Story for 24 hours.
You know, if you look at Cousin Eddie as a character, like, he's not the brightest guy in the family, but he's got a heart of gold. Like, what he does for Clark when he knows that Clark's annoyed at his boss that he didn't get his bonus to build the pool. What did he do? He went out and kidnapped his boss.
Yeah. Yeah. We've definitely got some Eddies in the family.
People out there cooking chicken on rocks in Vegas. Yeah.
Bolt, thank you again for joining us during the holiday season. You got a lot going up. Everybody knows you from the Truth Commission and Right to Censor and the USWA and All Japan and NOAA. You're you're changing the gears now. You're going into this this bullpen professional wrestling where this seems like a rebirth and you're heavily involved. So tell us a little bit about bullpen.
Yeah, in June of 2024, we started running here in my hometown right out of the gate. Did great. Did over 400 people first show. Nice. And I've used my connections, and I hate to say used my friends, but I've used my friends to help with that. We brought Ron Simmons in. I believe it was the first. We brought Ron Simmons in, went up close to 600. Then we brought Devon Dudley in, got close to 700. Brought Godfather in, I think between 500 and 600. I've brought a lot of my friends in, let them, let the fans around here, because a lot of these guys, they're not generally in this area out here in West Georgia. So, it gives the fans out here a chance to see some folks that they may not normally get to see unless they went to a convention or something like that. But we started it up. It's been going great. I tell everybody, but I mean, I think it's something to be pretty proud of. I don't toot my own horn very much, but through our first year, we started in June. We were running once a month, and we added another town there toward the end of the year. But through our first year, our average attendance was 420 people. I haven't sat down, and because we added quite a few more shows this year, Delta, Alabama, Roanoke, Alabama. We live in the West Georgia, East Alabama area. We live about 5 or 6 miles from the Alabama state line, so we jump back and forth. So we're not necessarily a Georgia promotion, and we're not necessarily an Alabama promotion. But and training school, my business model all along has been to train. The same business model WWE has and has had for a while. It's OVW, it's Smoky Mountain, it's USWA. It's the same. Nothing that I thought of. I'm just doing it the way I learned how to do it. But our school has produced 6 or 7 pretty good guys. And my business model all along was to build them up and make them stars of the show. And I brought in a lot of my old friends to do that, and it's worked. My heavyweight champ, my Bull of the Woods heavyweight champion, which is our version of the bullpen heavyweight champion, is Xavier Cross, a bullpen graduate. My TV champion, JT Paradox, bullpen graduate. My light heavyweight champion, Dante Diamond, bullpen graduate. Trey Jordan, Ryan Wendell, another graduate, is was former light heavyweight champion. Trey Jordan is working all over the state of Georgia and Alabama. Kyle Gunner just has got started. He's already in the main event picture like you said, the rebirth guys. Basically, in a nutshell, and just the cliff notes on the whole thing, I guess the trainees and young guys got mad because they thought that the old guys were holding them down. I guess that includes me. So they formed their own little faction called the Rebirth. And, here we go. I guess this year will be the year of the Rebirth. It's starting to look like.
And it looks like you're still out there. You're involved in this. Like, you're wrestling too.
Yeah. You know, I say this with all sincerity. Honestly, in the beginning, I didn't even want a promotion. I just wanted to school. I would much rather be remembered for the people that I got in the business and the people that I got to have the chance to actually make a living in the business like I did. I'd much rather be remembered for that than being a promoter. I'd much rather be remembered as a trainer of guys that could go than a promoter. And I really didn't want a promotion. What I wanted was a school and a small building that I could run, maybe a couple hundred people, that I could put my trainees out in front of and let them get experience, AKA Ohio Valley Wrestling. But, it just kind of snowballed into this. And, some old feuds from the past have raised their head, and I wrestled last year at our December show. took me almost a month and a half to recover from that. I wrestled at our anniversary show this year in June. Once again, same thing. And then, you know, I can't do it anymore. You know, it's not any fun anymore when you can't go out there and, you know, you don't want to embarrass yourself. And, you know, when it takes you that long to recover just from one match, it's not fun anymore. I have just as much fun behind the scenes now as I do out in front. So, I'm trying to nip that in the bud, trying to cut that off pretty quick.
Do you have something you enjoy? Is there something now as a guy behind the scenes that you saw back in the day that you can now really appreciate? Like, you're on the other side now. You're as a wrestler, you're like, I don't want to fucking do that. I don't want to sit down and write TV. But now you're on the other side. Is there something where you're like, you know what? This is actually a lot of fun.
I enjoy producing. I enjoy putting these matches together and you know, seeing what I can come up with and letting these guys letting nature take its course. From the beginning, I brought in a bunch of my friends who are, you know, maybe not quite my age, but guys that I worked with here on the Indies in Georgia and Alabama, brought them in so the young guys could learn from them. And then, the young guys turn in stars. I just thought there would be a little more gratitude than there is right now. I don't know if that's a generational thing or if maybe I just, didn't crack the whip hard enough or what, but, yeah, that's what it's turned into. But I enjoy producing this stuff. I had no idea. Which, you know, WWE is kind of, you know, a major company. You have however many employees, you know, you can imagine there's departments for travel, there's departments for this, there's departments for creative, for costumes, for all that. You know, with this, you know, you're looking at it. I'm creative, I'm talent relations, I'm travel, I'm everything. I'm the ride from the airport. It's a lot of work, man. Hats off to a lot of these guys, the hundreds and maybe thousands of promoters I've run across through the years, you know, worked for and knew and just, you know, you look at it totally different from a talent standpoint. It is. It's, you know, it's nice to go in there and just drop your bag and look up and see who you're working and get ready and go do it, and then it'll get your money and leave. But, man, it's long days sometimes. Sometimes about it. You know, we either start the night before or the morning of, and it's a full day, and we're there till 1, 2 o'clock at night. So it's a lot of work. But, I didn't know that back 20 years ago, I didn't know that there would be anything that I could do that would be as much fun as wrestling. And I don't know if this is as much fun, but it's pretty close second. And, you know, it's kind of like softball. It ain't baseball, but at least I can play. So, you know, at least I can still do this and enjoy it. I can't get out there and really wrestle that much anymore or do it effectively, but I can do this, and hopefully I can still do it for a little while at least. I don't know. I thought I was on the verge of a stroke or a heart attack a couple times last year, so maybe we'll make it through it.
And bullpen professional wrestling is, you have a YouTube channel and you have all social medias, but you guys are also on ECUSA TV, East Coast USA TV. How does something like that come about? Because everybody has a YouTube channel, but it's hard for some of these promotions to find a home such as ECUSA TV.
These guys are startup. They reached out and I saw where they had reached out and reached out back to them. And we got together and worked out a deal and yeah, man, it's great. It's ECUSA TV. It's a Roku. If you got Roku, just download, it's a free app. They're on pretty much everything. Apple TV, Fire, they're on all that. So yeah, it's a huge deal for us. We, you know, when we first started our first show, WWE was nice enough to let my son Brooks Jensen. He came up and got to cut a little promo there in the ring. So we've always had you know, the affiliation that I, you know, that I had with WWE. Nothing official or nothing like that, but you know, I always tell guys, when you do business the right way, you know, you do business the way you're supposed to do it. I've had a good relationship with those guys since the day I walked out the door, you know, which is, you know, shown that I've been back a few times, been on TV a couple of times, been back a few times, been invited down as a guest coach. So, yeah, you know, it's just, I think when you do business the right way, you, you know, things like that, kind of fall in your lap. But this was just kind of out of the blue. And Leah, like I said, we've got YouTube channels. We actually got three of them. We're trying to consolidate, but we're on X, we're on, TikTok, we're on Facebook. We got, you know, we do all the social media, but yeah, we're starting to, and we're starting to upload some of our back content too from the past 2 years. So look forward to seeing some of that.
You mentioned your son, Brooks Jensen, and he wrestled on the independent scene. And you guys actually got to have a match a couple years ago. Did you ever think, first of all, did you ever want your son in the professional wrestling business? And then did you ever think you'd actually get to have a match with him? Because that's got to be a pretty cool father-son moment.
Yeah, I knew he would. I knew there was no sense in me trying to stop it. I knew he would. He was, you know, he was just that's all he thought about. Everything else in life, pretty much up to, you know, that point was just pro wrestling. He was a standout amateur wrestler. He was state champion amateur wrestler over in Alabama as a heavyweight. And he was a pretty good football player too. But he just, you know, everything was just to further his path along to being a pro wrestler. So I knew he would. We actually, you know, I dare say he started refereeing when he was 14. Now, all these were places that were friends of mine in the business. You know, I didn't just put him out there and turn him loose. You know, at 14 years old, he can't even drive. So we would go to the – he asked me to train him, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll let you referee a few matches. It's been my experience that sometimes if you let them referee a couple of matches, it lets them get out in front of the crowd without a little – some of the pressure of you know, being in the spotlight. So we did that. I think he had maybe his first match at 15 or 16, and you know, he just rocked on from there. But it got to be, like I said, these are friends of mine, these promoters, you know, places I've worked over the years and friends of mine that I work with that are promoting now. And inevitably, you know, somebody said, well, hey, would you want to, you know, get in there and tag with him? And, of course, I had a retirement like everybody else. My first retirement was in 2014, I believe. When I joined the sheriff's department down here, they threw me a real nice retirement. We had a packed house. I got D-Lo came down. Me and D-Lo tagged one last time. But I knew that if either one of the boys wanted to get into it, that I probably had one or two more matches in me, because I thought it would just be cool to be able to tag with them. And we did. But it kind of turned into a it kind of turned into a whole tour around the state of Georgia, me and him. And we actually won the Southern Fried Tag Team belt at one point. Now, mind you, this was only like 4 years ago. So it wasn't like I was 32 and you know, still had springs in my legs. I was trying to keep up with him and trying to keep up with these guys that he was wrestling. So that almost killed me. It literally took me almost a year to recover from that, but I had a blast. It was so much fun. And yeah, we did wind up working each other, and it was only about 3 or 4 minutes into the match. And I realized that there's a point in your life when you realize you have met someone who is the equal or more than what you are. And I chopped him and he chopped me, and I thought my heart stopped. And at that point, At that point, I said, "You know what? It just it's you know, you got the crown, buddy." yeah, that match didn't go much longer than that. I had a lot of big plans in my head, and about 5 minutes in, I said, "Shit, I can't do this." So, but yeah, we did. And my other son, Zach Buchanan, he's actually the leader of the Rebirth faction. He's going to be a star. He's 6'3", 220, just does some uncanny stuff off the ropes. He's a little bit of an acrobat. So, but he's worked for me since the beginning, and you know, he worked for a lot of the bigger promotions around here. And so he's down in Orlando right now with Ben trying to, you know, further his career down there. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm sure at some point, maybe if I can drag myself in there one more time, maybe me and him will tag or, you know, something. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I knew they were both going to want to do it. So I'd already planned on it.
That's, it's awesome. That's fantastic. And to think, right, we're talking, God, you've been in the business for quite a bit of time now. Like you just said, down to Orlando, like the things have changed, you know, the way, if there was a place like Orlando for you to go and train when you were coming up, you know.
Yes.
The first time a lot of miles.
Yeah. My trainer, Olin James, James Hammond, we lost him this past year. We trained in the backyard. We trained in a barn at one point. And, you know, winters here in Georgia aren't nearly as bad as they are in some other places, but they still get pretty cold, especially when you're out in a barn. But we trained out there in January and February and March. And, you know, we trained wherever we could find. And the first time I went down there, which, you know, Ben had told me about it. But the first time I went down there, they had like 7 or 8 rings. They got a ring. It's basically it's a full-size WWE ring. And it's basically an air mattress inside. So, you know, when they want to practice the, you know, all those crazy flips and that kind of stuff, you know, they got a little bit of protection anyway. But, yeah, it's unbelievable because I remember I was actually probably, I think, you know, in Smoky Mountain, I'm not sure. I have talked to him to make sure, but yeah, I think even at Smoky Mountain, you know, they were already looking at some of Cornette's younger talent. I know they already had their eye on Glenn Jacobs. You know, Undertaker came down and worked him at Smoky Mountain. You know, he had a lot of young talent down there, and then they had their eye on already. And that, you know, that's where I got my opportunity. But it wasn't a developmental system at all. And then when I first signed, I signed with WWE. They sent me and Dwayne Johnson and Bart Sawyer down to Memphis. And I think that probably we were the first developmental class. Now, I'd been working about 1.5, 2 years. I think Bart had been working about the same length of time. Rocky had been working. You know, he hadn't really been working. But, you know, I mean, his dad's Rocky Johnson. So he had been working out and training down in Houston. And I think Pat had already been down there. So, you know, it wasn't like he just stepped into the ring, plus with all the lineage he had. But we were probably the first development. And it wasn't somewhere you went and trained. It was a working territory still at that time. You worked 6 days a week. A lot of times you work 7 or 8 or 9 times during that 6 days. We worked 3 times on Saturday. We did, we would do live TV at the TV studio at 9 o'clock in the morning. Then we had a house show at the Big One Flea Market over on the other side of Memphis. And then we had Nashville, which was 4 hours away that night. So, you know, you just went in and went right to work. And then OVW was the first actual full service, as Cornette would say, developmental system, where they could bring somebody in that had no knowledge of pro wrestling, get them in the ring, teach them the ropes, teach them, you know, the business from all sides, do the whole thing. And so I've watched it evolve from, you know, from nothing to, what it is now, and it's amazing.
Yeah, remarkable. And you meant like Smoky Mountain, USWA. You had a cup of coffee in ECW, which I was quite fond of. I got to ask about the Truth Commission, especially because Don Callis is all over TV now. You go from being the Punisher in Smoky Mountain and USWA, and then, you know, here we go. You're getting the call to the big show. You're going to be in the Truth Commission.
Yep.
What goes through your head? Here you are, this badass, the Punisher, and now you're just like, it was such a weird thing.
Yeah, so I had no idea. I was down in Memphis, like I said, I was doing Punisher down there just because that's what I was doing in Smoky Mountain. And I got a call to go up for a costume fitting. And at that time, they actually had a costume. It was actually a fashion. It was in the fashion district of New York City. And they actually had a big studio down there where they did all the costumes at. Because it was right at the beginning of the Attitude Era, I guess. So there's still a lot of, you know, the Undertaker was, you know, he had just done the Batman kind of, you know, the wings, yep. And, you know, so the outfits and the gimmicks were still pretty elaborate, you know, before everything kind of turned in the Attitude Era. But so I went down there and I saw the drawing of it. So, and I figured out from there, okay, well, it's something military. And then I got a call. Well, they brought us up to Stanford. It was me, Robert Kurgan, and Mike Hallett, Tank. He was Mantar in WWE. That was the original Truth Commission, along with Robin Smith, who was the commandant. Now, Robin was so the story it was told to me by Robin was that Bret Hart was over in South Africa doing a Sinbad episode, and Robin was a actor over there, and he was acting on that episode. And so they got together and started talking, and they talked this whole Truth Commission thing up. Bret went back, pitched it to Vince. Vince liked it, of course. You know, three big guys dressed in military, you know, Vince loved it. So Bret knew Robert from, he'd already been out, I think, to the Hart, out to the one of their training camps before. So, and he was from Canada. And they knew Mike. Mike had, you know, previously worked up there as Mantar. So Bret knew Mike. And they were looking through a book of some of the guys that weren't on the road or they were under contract but wasn't doing anything right now. And Bret saw a picture of me, and I had the crew cut at the time. He said, well, he looks like he'd been in the military, so let's put him in there. So that's how I got in there, and we went to Stanford, and Robin taught us how to march and how to do all that stuff because he was he had actually been a soldier in the South African military. So we did that for a couple of weeks and then sent us back down to Memphis, and I think we stayed down there maybe six months or so, just, you know, just working on it. And then got the call up. But we got the call up, and, you know, we were rocking. It, like I said, Vince liked it, and Bret was behind it. You know, so, of course, they were going to give it a shot. And then we were right in the middle of gang warfare. It fit right in at the time. It was very convenient for them at the time. You know, another four-man group, what we were building up to, Survivor Series, the whole gang warfare thing. Right prior to that, I got a call from Robin. Well, we all did, but I got the call from Robin, and he'd had some visa trouble, and they let him go. So, of course, we didn't, you know, we were worried, okay, what does that mean for us? And we had heard, now, you know, we didn't get into the whole thing with Bret and Sean. Bret was, of course, you know, one of our benefactors there at the time. But we didn't get into the whole thing, but we had heard rumors that Bret might be leaving. So, and on top of that, now we're wondering, okay, so where does that leave us? And Don came in. Mike Hallett never made it to the main roster. Don't know why. God rest his soul. He passed a couple of years ago, but don't know why. Don't know what their thinking on it was, but they brought in Luke Poirier. Luke Poirier wrestled over in Germany for Otto Wanz over in his, and he wrestled as Rambo over there and was a huge star over there. So brought him in and put him with us. And Don came in. Well, they all knew Don because they were all Canadian. So they had, you know, wrestled and been around Don. So they knew Don. I didn't know Don. But, you know, I could tell right off that, you know, he knew he could talk. But we had a house show, and we had a six-man match, the three of us. And then he had a singles match, and he went out there and tore the house. Now, I had no idea, you know. I mean, I figured he wrestled, but I had no idea. And he went out there and tore the house down. I never understood why he didn't wrestle more than he did. Of course, you know, he was more valuable to us as mouthpiece, but Scott's tremendous. I made the comment when he came back through the curtain. I said, "Damn, man, we need to be managing you." I mean, you know, he was good. He had a great match. And it's funny to, you know, to see him after still going at it, still after all these years. You know, it's great. Good guy. We had a lot of fun. Because it was all of our first time there. So everything was still new. You know, every road trip was just a new adventure. And we all rode together. We got, you know, we'd get a minivan or something. We had to get something big because, you know, Kurgan was 7 foot legit. So, but we would, you know, we had a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then it kind of like the Truth Commission kind of ends, and then like you end up back in OVW, and then they bring you up for, you know, you're kind of with the Boss Man, and then Right to Censor comes to be, and that's
yeah,
probably like the most, no, because B2 was pretty good too.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right to Censor probably had the longest legs,
yeah,
of anything. I was so. Such a big Boss Man fan growing up and watching him, you know, and then getting the tag with him. And then we became friends outside the business. Our families hung out together. So it was just great. I was really disappointed when they broke us up. But Ray had some stuff he had to get done on his knee. And I think they were just going to let me go as a singles for a little bit. And then me and Stevie had got to be friends over the time I was up there, you know. And we were in Albany, New York, and he came up and said, "Well, I think they're putting you with me." And I had seen him go out, you know, but I didn't know. I didn't really know what he was doing. I just saw him wearing the shirt and the tie, so you know, I didn't know, you know. I asked him, I said, "Well, are we Mormons? Or, I mean, what are we doing here?" And he said, but he laid it all out to me. And I said, "Well, God, man, that's, you know, that's great. If they give it a push, if they get behind it just a little bit, man, it'll get some heat." And they did. And it did. It got a ton of, it got bigger, you know, I think than we actually, and I'm pretty sure it got a little bigger than the office actually thought it would get. It's a shame because I think we all thought it might have had more legs under it than what it did, but you know, we just bought out WCW, and overnight angles finished and things, you know, just kind of got not tidied up. You know what I'm saying? We had to totally change gears and go in a different direction. So, I guess that's why they were wanting to pull the plug on it. But, you know, I know that there were plans. There was going to be a slow destruction. Stevie would be the one to talk to about that. But I know that it was going to be a slow destruction, you know, not the fast come apart that we had, but, you know, a slow implosion to end the whole thing. But, yeah, it got you know, everything, like I said, when we bought them out, everything changed.
That's why.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's just wild how, like, how much that affected, you know, everything that was going on. It was just like a 180 right there. This is what we're doing, and then we're just going to change course. And unfortunately, you guys were victims of circumstance.
Yeah, you know, I'll never forget. I was sitting next to Ron Simmons. We'd got to be pretty good friends, and I was sitting next to Ron Simmons at the meeting when Vince told us, and you know, he was laying the whole thing out to us, and I looked at Ron and I said, you know, kind of whispered, I said, "Well, that's good for us, isn't it?" And I remember it was Yeah, I look back on it now, and I thought, God, he was right. You know, because my reaction was, I said, no, he wouldn't do that to us, would he? And, you know, he gave me that look like, okay. I didn't think that. But, no, I mean, you know, how do you not put Booker T on TV? You know, I mean, unfortunately, I mean, I don't say unfortunately. I mean, God, they got a ton of talent. It was a weird time, and there were so many guys there. I feel like a lot of people got kind of fell through the cracks. Mark Jindrak, Sean O'Hare, Chuck Palumbo, those guys like that. They were my size, and you know, and they were probably a little bit younger, but you know, they had a lot of talent, and they all had runs up there, but just not big ones. You know, like I figured that they would. Rodney Mack, I mean, guys like that, you know, it just seemed like they were just churning guys in and out at that time. But yeah, you know, unfortunately, you didn't get the Goldbergs and the Flairs and the guys like that, the Steiners, you know, all those matchups that everybody said, oh, you know, when everybody sat down that night and tuned in their TV and realized what was going on, first thing that probably popped in everybody's mind is, oh, my God, Goldberg against Stone Cold, you know, Scott Steiner against, you know, Triple, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of those guys didn't come. But like I said, you got Booker T. I mean, how do you not put that guy on TV, you know?
Isn't it crazy, too, that Rodney Mack is still working right now?
He's
still wrestling for the NWA. It's crazy.
Yes, I saw him not long ago. Me and Zach actually came out to the NWA thing at Center Stage here in Atlanta, and I saw him. Yeah, that's cool. Him and Jazz, man, they were two really cool people. I hated it that, you know, the way I got took out with Cena and Rodney Mack, I just hated it that he didn't have a better run with that than he did. You know, I kind of figured that, okay, well, they're going in this direction with him. Maybe he'll get elevated by this. And, you know, he did, but just like I said, I mean, there's a lot of guys that got a run, and it just, they didn't last. It didn't, you know, it didn't get that. I mean, I got a pretty much close to 9-year run up there. You know, I can't complain about that at all. But you know, you just think some of those guys would have been there longer and been more successful. Chuck Palumbo came over to Japan after I left. I went to All Japan. Me and D'Lo did. The Chuck Palumbo come over there, man. He was great. I mean, he was big and he was in shape and he could move and he could fly around and, you know, all the things you would look for. And it's always amazed me, you know, those guys didn't get. Johnny Stamboli came over. You know, same deal. You just want Albert. Matt Bloom. There was a lot of guys that, you know, D'Lo, Eki, Umaga. There was a lot of guys that got let go during that time, and a lot of us wound up over in Japan and did really well over there. But I always wondered, you know, why they didn't get a better run up there than they did.
So spending a lot of time in Japan, did you ever have a chance to try the raw horse meat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it actually ain't bad. I used to be pretty picky about what I ate. And so when I first went over there, I remember Mike Austin was kind of me and Mike had worked. Another guy that I looked up to, because my philosophy when I got in the business, when I kind of started figuring out, you know, how the business worked, and I hadn't figured out how to get over yet, but I knew there was such a thing as getting over. And I thought that my athleticism would set me apart from other guys that were my size. And one of the guys I saw do that was Booker T, of course. Another one I saw do that was Billy Gunn, but another one was Mike Awesome. And I always thought it'd be great if I got a chance to work him, and we got a chance to work. But he was my contact over in Japan. He's the one that called me and made the introductions and everything. And, he told me, I said, listen, man, you know, what is there to eat over there? And he said, listen, there's a McDonald's in every town. He said, just about every town, there's a KFC. And I said, well, hey, I'm golden. I will tell you that cat, the film producer a few years ago that did the McDonald's diet. I can tell you. I can tell you that there's something to that. I ate McDonald's for a week and I didn't eat it for another year. I was begging for anything except McDonald's. So I actually got to where I'd try just about anything over there. The cow tongues, they slip that in on you. That's always a good ha-ha for them. You're sitting there, and I mean, if you don't know, it really is pretty good. You think, damn, this is good. What is this? Oh, it's a cow tongue. You're like, okay.
That's the thing. For me, like, I'd have to know what I was eating, and if you told me it was, like, cow tongue or raw horse, like, I think I'm out.
Right. You know, you wouldn't try it. So I guess that's why they don't do it. But, yeah, they did. There's a game they play over there, I guess, the wasabi sauce. They you order, like, three or four of you will order maybe six or seven egg or sushi rolls. Well, one of them's chock full of damn wasabi sauce, and you just keep eating until, you know, whoever the unlucky person that gets it is. And you know, guess who that person usually is? The dumbass American in the group. And I swear the fire came out my nose. I was ready to hit somebody. I love sushi before that, but after that, I just couldn't eat it anymore. But no, the food's great over there. I loved it. I got to where I would just, you know, eat almost, I'd try almost anything.
What was
Tony.
What was one thing you tried over there that you were just like, nah, this ain't for me?
Calamari.
Really?
I tried it.
Really?
I tried it. And I was like, God, this is chewy. I can't, you know. And it's like, oh yeah, it's a cartilage. And I just got that. I got that image in my head, and I couldn't ever get it out. So I was, you know what? That's a little too far for me. I never tried to blowfish. I didn't want to wind up dead or anything like that. Yeah.
But the calamari, was it one of those gimmicks where it was live on your plate? Because I've seen videos of they're crazy. They'll just eat shit while it's moving on your plate.
Yeah, no, this was actually, it's kind of like tempura. It was fried. It had a crust on it. But one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life was over there. I don't remember what town it is. I want to say it might have been Osaka. But there was a restaurant they used to carry us to. It was a pretty good-sized restaurant. But in the middle of it, it had of course, it wasn't a full-size fishing boat. But it was a fishing boat set in a man-made pond. And I guess you paid extra and you could go on the boat and sit there, and they give you a fish pole. You actually caught your fish out of the man-made pond, and they filleted it right there in front of you. And yeah, when they fillet it right there in front of you, it'd still be jumping when they filleted it, you know, it was still twitching around. So, but yeah, bar none, one of the coolest things I've ever seen, a damn boat floating in a man-made pond out there in the middle of a damn restaurant. You ever go get on and catch your own fish?
Wild.
Yeah.
Do you ever go to any of those restaurants where they have like the girls dressed up like the anime characters and they giggle and they serve you and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, every bar over there. I think we made a point to try every bar we could find over there and the karaoke bars. So a typical night, you know, if you have a sponsor over there, it's somebody, maybe you get to that town, you know, maybe it might be a business or it might just be an individual, but they're usually somebody that the office knows and the office trusts. But they'll come, the office will come to you and say, hey, you got somebody that wants to, you know, they want to be your, usually it's one or two more guys, but they won't be your sponsor. So they'll take you out. You know, usually you'll start maybe at a restaurant, get something to eat. Then it's to the bar. Then you drink. Then you go to the karaoke bar and you drink some more and do karaoke. And then it's back to another bar and you drink a little more. And then usually another karaoke. So they keep you out. They'll run you all night. But, you know, it's great because they're paying for everything. You know, you're living it up on their dime. They just – they just enjoy being around the wrestlers.
Did you have a go?
I think we're about to ask the same thing.
Go ahead, Brando. Brando, I've been saying that all day.
Did you have a go-to karaoke song over there?
You know, my buddy, Kaya, we used to sing, what is it, New York, New York, Frank Sinatra. Yeah. That used to be the favorite. That one, and D-Lo liked, what was it, Michael Bublé, the Coming Home song. Yeah.
I can't see D-Lo Brown singing Michael Bublé.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, you know, after a few adult beverages, we do a lot of stuff that that we.
Thank God. I'm sure you have stories. So.
They ever take you out to Roppongi there?
Oh God, I don't know what the office was actually thinking. apparently they weren't. But they booked us in a hotel in Roppongi there for a few tours, and it didn't have any major complications, but it definitely it probably put a strain on the work rate over there for a few years. they booked us there for a few tours, and then they got us out of there. They got us back over to a little more a sane part of town, but yeah, we had a good time. They would always carry us to Ribera, of course, and we had to, you know, we when they brought us over to All Japan, we were doing a thing called ROD. Muda had just bought the company, and you know, he wanted a group of foreigners to run against him and the babyfaces, of course. And Taka was already over there. And Taka, you know, of course, had been in New York with all of us. So he had the inside track on who was, you know, who was going might be free coming up. And so he kind of funneled us in there. And then the original group was myself, D-Lo, Mike Awesome, Taka, of course, and Jerry Toot. He was the Wall in WCW. He unfortunately passed away over there. And so then the group became me, D-Lo, Taka, and Umaga, Eki, Edward Fatu, and Tai Okea, who had already been over there. He trained over there, and he was there through the early and mid 90s. You know, he'd been over there for a while. But yeah, we had a group over there. So we talked the office into, you know, the office said we need a place where the ROD, the group, can kind of, that can be their office. And I'm pretty sure it was Umaga, because that's the way he thought. He said, hey, I got a great idea. Why don't we make Ribera our office? So that way, every time we went to shoot a promo, we got a free steak, free meal, you know, a free jacket, you know, all free beer we could drink. So, yeah, Ribera was our office slash home. So, you know, we made ourselves at home there. Yeah, Ribera was a great place. And, you know, and it's not big at all. People would be amazed. I mean, everybody's seen the jackets and everybody's heard about it, you know, and they have this big, huge steak place in mind. And it's a small, small little bar. But it's got some of the best pictures, man. The pictures from, you know, Harley, Road Warriors, you know, anybody who's anybody in pro wrestling has probably got a picture up in there.
It's so unique to look at your career, Bull, because it's, you know, 30 years ago now is when you were in SMW. Like, did you envision that you'd still be talking about, you know, SMW and USWA and the right to censor and all this stuff? Like, and even your Japan run between All Japan and NOAH, like, you've shared the ring with literally everybody in the wrestling business. It's pretty wild to look at.
Oh, God, man. I just really blessed. You know, I was just a kid from Georgia. You know, I had size, of course, on my side. You know, I was 6'6" in high school. I was bigger than every other kid in all through school, so I had size on my side. But you know, I had a fairly athletic, and you know, I just wasn't going to take no for an answer. It's what I wanted to do. But no, I, you know, I never dreamed that I'd get to my ideal of success in the business. And when I first got in, like I said, got in and got comfortable and kind of started figuring stuff out and started traveling a little bit. You know, my business model was if I could make $500 a week and not have to work a regular job, you know, this would be successful for me. And God, man, I've done, like I said, I've been blessed. I've done a lot more than that. But no, I had no idea. I never dreamed that WWF WrestleMania as big as it got and everything. I never, you know, never dreamed of any of that.
Guess what? WrestleMania, you are Wrestle Kingdom. Like you've been everywhere. It's awesome. And now we got Bullpen Professional Wrestling, and your son is doing well, and your other son sounds like he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And we got to ask, well, we're not going to keep you much longer. I know you're a busy man, but I got to ask. I ask every guest this question. When was the last time you shit your pants?
In the ring?
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
It wasn't full blown. I mean, I didn't blow it outside or anything, but it was over in Japan. And you know, I think I was working Kinski. I'm pretty sure I was working Kinski. It was nothing he did. It was just a suplex. But, man, there was a bug going around on the bus over there. And I remember I sat out in the bus until we had cell phones over there. And I sat out in the bus, and Kaya called me. He's like, okay, they're getting ready to play our music. And I ran in the back door and got out to the ring. And it was just a suplex. But I remember standing on my head and thinking to myself, God, I hope when I land this don't. And when I landed, it was one of those, you know, you couldn't really tell, but it was, it felt a little funny. Like I said, I've heard stories. I heard a story one time. And I don't know if it's true or not. Somebody can probably back it up, but I'm pretty sure I thought Ecky told me the story, so he would know. Back in Rodney, Yokozuna, you know, they were family. And he told me that, because we were talking one day about Rodney, and he was telling me that, you know, when we do the bonsai drop, I said, how does he see where they're at before he does it? He said, doesn't. He puts them in the same place every time, and he just knows that's where he's got to be. Well, some rocket scientists they brought in up there, and I don't know who, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, I can't verify this story, but it was, you know, some smart guy they brought in up there. When Rodney put him where he was supposed to put him, where he, you know, where he wanted him to be, this guy thought he needed to scoot up a little bit, so he scooted up. No, well, Rodney can't see him, you know. So he comes off and lands right on this guy's stomach and said it blew out both sides of his trunks. If the story's true, and I wish somebody would verify this for us, but if the story was true, Vince was standing right there but at the gorilla when he walked back through and said, get the hell out of my ring. Get the hell out of my ring and I'll come back. Yeah. It's one of those traits. It's like the NASCAR drivers, you know, like when you really get to thinking about it, like, how do they hold it for 4 or 5 hours sometimes? Well, shit, maybe they don't.
No.
You know, it's the stuff they don't – the little inside stuff that they don't really talk about. Astronauts, I guess, you know. But yeah, you got to be careful. It happens. I've heard stories of a lot worse than that happening.
Oh, we've got a few good stories on this podcast from some guests. And I think Steve Austin said he shit his pants when Yokozuna did that to him, too.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, Rodney would take care of you, but, I mean, he's still got 450. Yeah, yeah. I got to meet him a couple of times. And I remember the first time I met him, when I first signed with Vince. Back then, J.J. Dillon was actually the head of talent relations. This was actually before JR. So they would fly you up. J.J. would give you a tour, and then you'd go in and sit down with Vince and, you know, talk over, you know, kind of get to know each other, that kind of thing. And so I already knew that they were having a pay-per-view in South Carolina. So when I went in and sat down with Vince, you know, I didn't know what he was going to ask me. But I already knew what I was going to ask him. And so we went through our whole little, you know, talked a little bit. And I said, well, you know, I already had a prepared speech in my mind. I know he probably got a kick out of it because I sounded like I was trying to sell him, you know, some some kind of bathroom accessory or something. But I said, well, Mr. McMahon, I see that you have a pay-per-view out in South Carolina coming up in a few weekends. And he's like, well, you know, in typical Vince, he was like, well, yes, we do. And I said, I'd really be interested in coming out, you know, if you guys would let me. And he said, you'd want to come out to that? And I was like, of course. He said, okay, well, we'll get, you know, I'll get with travel. And I said, oh, no, sir, that'd be fine. I can drive myself out. And he said, you'd drive all the way out? I said, yes, sir, absolutely. You know, I'm, you know, I was probably, I might have been one of the first, I wasn't the first, but I was one of the early members of the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club, because I was trying, you know, of course, you're trying to make a good impression on it. And, you know, I was trying to, and so me and my buddy, I had a buddy that I trained with, Bulldog Reigns. He wrestled out in Memphis for a few years. But we trained together, so he rode out there with me. So we went out there, and we're standing backstage. And I can't remember which one it was, but anybody that stumbles across it, you'll know which one it is. There was a huge blackout. Power went off. The pay-per-view actually went off the air. This was back, like, you know, during the pay-per-view. You had to pay for it. Went off the air. They had a lightning strike right there close to the building. It was all for maybe 30 minutes or something, and they had to run a match out there and do so. And Yokozuna was standing back there in the back, and me and Bulldog were standing there. We were trying to stay out of the way because nobody knew who we were. We were trying to stay out of the way, you know, low key. But there were some other guys standing there looking out the curtain, so we walked up and started looking out the curtain. I remember Rodney walked behind us and said, "You're a bunch of marks. Get away from the curtain." Scared the shit out of me and my buddy. So, you know, we were about ready to leave the building at that point. But yeah, I got, man, he was a great guy, man. Unfortunately, you know, another one of them guys, man, just gone too soon.
Yeah.
That was Beware of Dog in Your House 8.
Yep.
Where the lights went out.
Yep.
Last question, Paul. I know we kept you super long, and I apologize. We're having such a good time. You have a couple kids, so I'm going to assume you've been married.
Yep.
What's the line? Would you ever take a shit while your wife was in the shower? Because somebody on this podcast, it was an emergency.
I've been married 27 years. There ain't much we done in front of each other. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be my first choice, but if all the bathrooms are tied, I mean, that's, you know, our house, we had, I think, 4 bathrooms. And I'm like, how in the hell can all these bathrooms be tied up at one time? But inevitably, it happens. And, yeah, I mean, if you had to, you had to.
I'm with, look.
Wait. You wouldn't do that to one of your kids, though, would you?
Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat, yeah. Because trust me, they've done it to me.
Oh, yeah, God. The kids are more accessible. Or
yeah,
acceptable.
He has preference.
Accessible? Yeah. What?
They've done it to me, so, yeah, I wouldn't think twice about it.
Kyle, is there anything you'd like to ask Mr. Buchanan before we let him go? You've been really quiet over there.
No, I was letting him do his thing. I was a big B-squared guy back in the day.
Thank you.
I mean, you were there with John Cena, like he was there for like a year or so, was kind of floundering, and then all of a sudden he gets paired with you and his ascent kind of begins. So I think it's fair to say that all of his success is probably due to you. Is that correct?
Well, you could say that, but I don't know how many people would believe it. No, he honestly, man, I knew pretty quick that he was gonna. Now, I did not. I don't think anybody could really know that he would turn into what he did, but I knew that he was going to be successful just because we started. I saw him first out in California. He was working for a Bassman out there, I think, and he would come do dart matches. And, you know, the first one, he wasn't bad, but he was still kind of rough around the edges. And we'd come back in, you know, 3-4 months, we'd come back out and do a show, maybe in LA or San Diego somewhere. And he'd do another dart match. And he'd get a little better, and he'd get a little better. And then I ran across him down in OVW. He looked like he's always, but even at that time, even more so, he looked like $1 million. I mean, just,
right.
You know, you've seen any pictures of him back then. He was even, He was even more jacked than he is now.
He was a bodybuilder, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was a competitive bodybuilder. But I didn't know if he could talk. And then once I saw him in OVW, and I saw he could, you don't ever know. You can never tell for sure because, like I said, man, a lot of good talent has fallen between the cracks. A lot of guys, I thought, during my time there, I saw guys come through, and I thought, man, they are going to make it. And they just never – it never clicks or they never get the chance or whatever. But so you never know for sure, but I had a feeling he was going to do good. And, you know, we got – and so when I got back on the road before they put us together, I was already – I was doing dark matches and I was doing the house shows, which was great because, you know, that was a ton of money back then. So I was back on the road doing that, and me and Devon, of course, you know, me and Devon and Bubba, you know, with me and Ray and then me and Godfather, you know, we'd worked together just a ton over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. We'd worked together a bunch. So we got to be friends. And when it split him and Devon up, me and Devon, Shelton Benjamin, were riding together. And Batista was doing Devon, you know, he was collecting the money for Devon. That's when they were doing the Reverend Devon. They were doing that whole thing. And we were riding one night, and I think we were going to Mohegan Sun up in New York. And I remember Dave sitting there saying that he was worried that they were going to let him go. And I said, you crazy? I'm not going to let you go, man. But, you know, he was like, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, they're kind of, okay, well, we don't know what to do with you. You know, this might be your last. Like I said, it was a time when guys were getting, I got several shots. I got, you know, wasn't always the greatest gimmick, but, you know, you got to make chicken salad out of chicken shit sometimes. That's kind of your job. So you can't really complain about the gimmick. You just take it and do the best you can. But, you know, I couldn't see that. And then I was surprised to find out that John kind of felt that way too. But, you know, when Stephanie heard him doing that rap, that's how it happens. And, you know, I was walking backstage. I think me and Shelton Benjamin were walking backstage. I had no idea. I saw what he was doing. But one of the riders come up and said, hey, yeah, you're going to be with him. I said, well, so what am I? And his exact, and I don't know who this guy was. I mean, he was a small white guy. And it sounded so absurd coming out of his mouth. But he said, oh, you're going to be his, the quotation marks, homie. And I remember looking at Shelton, and Shelton looked at me, and we were just like, okay, all right. So, but then, you know, they kind of laid it out more. It was like, okay, it's a bodyguard. But me and John got talking about it, and then me and Shelton got talking about it, and I thought, why not take this in a different direction? And because, I mean, you know, a white guy being a rapper is comedy. You know, it's irony, it's comedy, and that's what it was back then, you know? Me and Shelton Benjamin were on, and I just had bought. I brought it on that tour because back then, you know, like I said, it's a different time. You had to actually buy something and put in something to hear music. So I just bought the new Eminem CD, and it dawned on me. Me and Shelton Benjamin were going out to look for, you know, some kind of get up, and it dawned on me. I said, Slim Shady. I was a huge Eminem fan, and I said, Slim Shady, that's it. The wife beater, you know, the pants, the whole ideal was basically Slim Shady. So that's the way we went with it. I mean, we had a good time. I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of it. I think John did too. You know, they were pretty, they let him kind of do what he wanted to on the raps. And some of them on the house shows were pretty brutal on the house shows. Some of them were pretty brutal on TV. Some of those he did with Eddie and Chavo, you know, I was like, have you run this by them? Are they okay with this? Now, I guess we'll find out when we get out there, but no, it was great. And, you know, and a good dude too, you know, he didn't come from money. He wasn't a rich guy getting into this. He was out there in California, basically living out of his car at some points and, you know, just clawed and scratched and succeeded. I mean, it's a success story because you know, up to the point when, up to the point where he started rapping, you know, nobody had, had really given him anything. I mean, he went out there and worked for it, and, you know, he got a shot. He took advantage of it. He got to OVW. He got a shot down there. He took advantage of it, and he got up on TV. And honestly, you know, I think it happened on that European tour, you know, when he was rapping in back of the bus, he saw a shot and he took it, and here we go. Couldn't happen to a better guy, I guess is what I'm trying to say. He's a good dude, you know, down-to-earth guy. You can tell by the way he treats fans and, you know, the Make-A-Wish stuff. Good dude.
Bo, you're a good dude. We appreciate you. You took way so much time tonight. We would love to have you back anytime you want to shoot the shit. We didn't even scratch the surface. There's so much we could talk about with you.
Yeah, yeah. But,
I mean, anytime you have to promote Bullpen or you just want to come on and shoot the shit, you have an open invitation. If you just throw Bullpen Pro Wrestling into YouTube or Instagram, the promotion will show up. Give it a follow. Bull's doing great stuff down there. And check it out. Support him. Bull, anything you want to leave the fans with before we let you go?
Just, man, I appreciate it. Like I said, I mean, I was a kid from Georgia. I had no dreams of doing what I did, and appreciate the fans, still appreciate them, still coming out today. It amazes me, you know, people still today are talking about stuff I did 30 years ago. That's a real blessing. I mean, when you can do something that that matters in folks' life, you know, that you can tell when they talk to you, when they're telling you about that time that they met you, you know, in Owensboro, Kentucky at the Walmart, you can tell that it meant something to them. So, you know, that means something to me to know that I made a small difference in somebody's life. So just appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you, Bull. Like I said, anytime you want to come back on the show, we'd love to have you, man.
Yeah, same here, guys. I appreciate y'all having me.
Well, you have yourself a happy holiday and a happy new year, and we'll talk down the road.
Yep, same to you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bull. Merry Christmas, brother. Thanks,
Bull. Merry Christmas, guys.
All right, we gotta do this now, right? We're gonna go there. Four guys. All right, hold on.
Four guys. All right.
Oh yeah.
I had to get you guys involved.
Yeah, what? he was handling it himself, man.
Yeah.
He was great. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Stop it, Buck. You creeper.
Would you have that one in the queue there?
I think Buck was waiting for Mr. Buchanan to leave. I don't think he wanted to start any shit.
Buck's a gentleman, after all.
I wanted to ask about being in Japan with PJ, but I felt like
no. We don't have to take everybody into the dark recesses of our minds. Come on.
Can I go take a piss? Does anyone
no.
else?
No. Yeah, you can. We're going to fucking.
I got a tinkle as well, actually.
We don't think that matters. Brundo and Tony, you can handle this for like a second, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we did a whole show by ourselves.
Yeah, what the fuck? You think we're invalids?
Invalids? No. Incompetent.
With the door open.
Yes, you have to leave your cameras on, though.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm going to pee right here.
It's got a stadium, pal.
Like a fucking astronaut, just gonna piss his fucking suit. Ooh, Kyle got some sexy legs there.
Hell yeah!
Wait, did
Matt go downstairs?
Yeah, did Waddle T fucking make a right instead of fucking going backwards? he didn't have to piss. He's got a fucking hot one in the chamber. He's just waiting to let it go. That Bull Buchanan, he was something else, man.
Yeah, that was fun. He's got a lot of stories, that's for sure.
I told Double T I'm going to be updating our guest list on the website because I haven't done so in quite a long time. Since episode 715, we've had about 40 or 45 more guests, which is about a guest a week. So I have a lot of updating to do.
That's amazing, consider it feels like 40 or 45 guys have canceled since then, too.
Yeah, you know what? That's a true statement. But there was a streak for a while where we had a guest like every fucking week. It was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. There, you know what? It was when Bay had his show, and the GCW Hammerstein stuff. We were just getting everybody as we could on there. It was like week after week after week.
Yeah, and then plus we also had our 14th anniversary, so we had about six or seven people joining us for that thing. But most of those are repeat guests, you know, so it's just a matter of just adding to their existing profiles. So
very true.
All right. Kyle's back. Kyle, love the legs, by the way. Double T, did you decide on purpose to exit stage right to go tinkle?
Yes, because I don't like you fucking guys talk shit about me when I walk away. Look at this.
You talk shit about you when you're here.
Yeah, we talk shit. Brando and I were just like, did he just go to the right?
Yeah.
Did you go pee out the window or something like
that?
No,
I went to the bathroom. I just didn't turn the light on. I don't need you fucking jerk off.
Did you piss like a bitch?
No. Jesus Christ.
Well, speaking of bitches, HK will be back with us next week. We're going to be celebrating Christmas proper, I guess. We're also going to be drafting our 2026 death pool, so we have that to look forward to.
I got a segue with that. Speaking of peeing out the window, I was on with the Ring of Honor Revelry guys.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll be on this week if you want to listen to a watch along of Final Battle for 3 hours. Final Battle 2015.
Oh yeah, we're gonna watch a whole show. Ja ja ja.
It was a ja 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 good time.
Fucking A, it was.
What was the main event of that one? 15.
It was AJ Styles and Jay Lethal.
Ooh, it's awesome.
Very good main event.
I like it.
Yep. Also where Matt Taven blows out his leg completely.
Is that Matt Taven or TK Orion?
No, Matt Taven did it first.
Gotcha.
Yeah. When we come back on, what is it, January 4th, 5th, that Monday? 5th.
Yeah.
January 5th, we are going to be announcing the 2026 inductees into the Shining Wizards Hall of Fame.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we got a lot coming up.
Oh, man.
And who do we have on the 12th? We got a guest on the 12th, don't we?
Too Tough Tony.
Fucking A. Lunatic Zone Too Tough Tony.
Fuck yeah.
Isn't he the JCW champion as well?
Didn't he? Didn't Cardona beat him for it? I don't know if they
should. Oh, did he?
Yeah, that's right.
Cardona put all the shit out with him as the champion. So,
man. Yeah. Triple T and Double T on one show. That's crazy.
Fucking A.
And then KKK up there. Huh?
Oh, boy. Jeez. Yikes, what were you saying? Dog.
I think you missed an H on that.
Well played, sir.
The street team, SJ is going to be at WPW's Cold Out Show Mercy January 22nd. An AEW double shot of Dynamite Collision April 1st. And I feel like there's something else, and I thought she sent it to me, but oh, maybe it's in the Discord. Will you knock it off?
It's the new what chant?
The worst. What? What? Goddamn, pal. Goddamn.
Quack like duck.
Can you quack?
Can you quack like a duck when you suck? Can you sit on my balls when we fuck?
Can you shit on my chest for good luck?
Ah, I found it. Okay.
What? Can't you quack like a duck?
No. The street team. SJ
it's
will
so
also be
cold in the bird.
It'll be a WPW and WSO Brawl in the Hall at Sentinel Concert Hall.
What? Can I put my brawls in your halls? Brawls in your halls. Can I? Sorry.
Shining Wizards Choir here.
Can I put my brawls in your hall? Good. Keep going. What else?
That's
banging in the bird.
No, I just read it all. The 22nd of January, Cold Out Force No Mercy, WPXW WSO Brawl in the Hall, February 4th, and then AEW Dynamite Collision taping April 1st. Follow the street team at Wizard Street for all street team information. They're giving out merch and stickers and all sorts of goodies. So check in with SJ and the crew. They're doing a great job over there at Wizard Street on the social media. We got a Patreon, patreon.com/wizardpodcast. $1 a month supports the show. $3 gets you access to all the bonus content. We are dropping our third bonus show on Christmas. And it's the behind the curtain look at how we decide the name of the show. So Tony has painstakingly gone through a couple months worth of that and put together a great bonus show that'll be dropping on Christmas. And if you sign up at the $3 level, you get access to that and all bonus shows going forward and the archive. So check that out.
And Christmas Eve tradition, early Christmas Eve morning, you'll be getting Mick Foley's rendition of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." That's a yearly thing we like to put out. So get you into the holiday spirit in the last 24 hours before Jesus is born.
Yeah, I make comments on that. I help him. I help him through it.
Yeah.
He needed my help. I said, "Matt, help me, brother. Help me, Jude."
Oh, Joseph?
No, Mick.
Oh, I thought you were delivering the baby Jesus.
The mixer. I can deliver the Jesus if you need me to.
Hell yeah.
Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
All I know is breathe, push, and get some wet towels. Every sitcom in the 70s and 80s taught me that if you want to deliver a baby safely.
Was that how your child's birth was?
No, my child's birth was stressful.
Stressful?
Yes, highly stressful.
Yikes, for you or for her?
For both of us. When a doctor goes, "Here, put this on and wait in the hallway," and they just grab your wife and wheel her down the hall, you're like, "I don't know what's going on here."
Yeah, you're like, "Thank God."
Yeah.
I mean, 17 years later, he's still here, so something worked out that day.
You didn't get threatened?
By who, the doctor?
No, your wife.
No.
Oh.
What movie was it with Christy Alley where she yells, "Fuck my breathing"?
The Look Who's Talking.
That was it. Yeah. We were playing Fortnite the other night. And I started going, "Fuck me, Santa. Fuck me, Santa." And my kid goes, "What are you saying?" I'm like, "Bad Santa. You've never seen it?" He's like, "No." And I'm like, "Yeah, you have to."
Oh, that's such a Christmas classic.
That's a top three Christmas music or movie.
Yeah. On my head?
Yeah.
There was a guy once. I shouldn't even be saying this. There was a guy I worked with once. And he looked like, what's his name? Tony Lee, the guy that plays the dwarf in Bad Santa, the elf. And we were talking about somebody that we worked with. I go, "Oh yeah, I went to go see Bad Santa," and he explained it to me. And the one dude, like 3 seconds later, he goes, "Whoa, that is so fucked up." He knew exactly who I was talking about. Good times.
Oh shit.
Is there anything else you got? I know we're running late. It's a little way after 9 o'clock right now. Is there anything you guys want to talk about before we do homework?
I don't know. I got to wake up at 3 and walk in a circle for 8 hours.
Somebody's got to do it in the States.
I would like to say MJF being back does nothing for me.
Nope.
He really? Regurgitates. He doesn't. Because it's the same thing. I'm going to say, I'm going to pick on this guy. And I'm going to make reference to your failed WWE run. And it's just the old hat.
Wait, who's he picking on this time?
He said something about Swerve being with B-Fab or some stupid shit, and he said made fun of Samoa Joe. It's just the same shit. I don't care.
I enjoyed it.
Did you see the picture he put out there with Tits McGee from Horror Island where they were dressed up for Hanukkah?
I love that.
That fucking interview is still one of my all-time favorites.
His wife?
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't remember his interview? It wasn't even MLW. She used to do like that interview show. She's like, "I'm here with Tits McGee from Whore Island," and he just stares at the camera.
That's true love.
Alicia Atoot.
Atoot. Gotcha. She got a big old shit locker too.
All right.
Hey.
God damn.
You think she married him? You think she married him just to get into the country?
No.
Like fucking Chelsea was like, "Hey Alicia, I got another one of them fellas from Long Island."
Possible.
Completely. I wouldn't, say no. I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule it out. But she does have a nice hiney.
Sure.
Toot toot. Hey, Brundo, we can do a little 6'7" with Alicia Toot, huh?
He said 6'7". Bull said 6'7". I was waiting for you to just like do this. I missed it.
Yep, I completely did.
Damn.
The kids are accessible.
Shout out Buck.
Wrote that down. Don't worry.
Oh, shout out Buck.
He's in the chat. He's a viewer.
Didn't Brundo say it?
Kyle, did you have anything to say about MJF?
I'm not a big fan of his hair. Not a big fan of the Lego hair all of a sudden. But otherwise, I agree. It's same old bunk.
Is the Continental Classic the best it's ever been?
Yes. Absolutely.
I wish it had better stakes, but yes.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Stakes, now I'm fucking starving.
Ribeiro.
Yeah, we're good.
Bring it back.
Ribeiro or
Ribeiro? What's Ribeiro? That's something too, right?
There's a Ribeiro steakhouse out here.
Yeah.
It's a steakhouse on the Riviera in France.
There we go.
I can't believe Bobby Cannon really says adier.
Ideal.
Oh man, I could listen to him talk.
Not
idea.
You even fucked up the slang.
Living the gimmick there.
His homie. That's sensational.
I wrote that down. You're gonna be his homie.
I had like 20 B squared questions, but it was already long, so I didn't want
to. Oh, you know, man. I was waiting for you guys to fuck it. I forget that you're not. I didn't want to put it in the private chat because I didn't want him to see like the notifications.
Of course not. He'll see it.
So I texted Tony and Brundle, like, if you guys have anything to say.
I asked him some questions.
Yeah, I don't have Kyle's number. I should have included
By the way, Brian Thompson from Netbreaker in the crowd with us tonight.
Hi, Brian.
Shout out, Brian. BT.
You don't remember? Really?
I remember fucking Netbreaker, man. Yeah, best Continental Classic that they've ever done. Wednesday. No, fuck off. Stop. Yeah. You're not
I'm missing Coolio. Fuck all the way off. Fuck all the way off. Dum, 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 dum.
I like it.
Are we going to pick? Because they got the semifinals and the final at the pay per view.
I'll have to discuss this after the day after Christmas.
Ah, that works.
We have to Double T usually has all this shit written down. Find out if we picked it last year.
Yeah. At the very least, we'll know.
I think we might have.
Yeah. Maybe we didn't pick the finals.
No, we did. We did it like if you didn't pick the guy that wins, fuck you. You lost another point or you didn't get it.
Okay. That works.
So like you have a total possible three, but if you fuck up the first two, you're not getting that third, you know?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, just like NCAA rules. Your team goes out, you don't get points later on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see if we did that. I don't want to go against tradition. Tradition.
It's tradition.
Sure, Cotton is tradition. He's the greatest tournament wrestler ever.
He's not having a great tournament, Tony.
Who gives a shit?
I do. It's anyone's game.
Oh, sure it is. Mike Bailey's going to fucking win the whole thing.
He could. Does
no, he can't.
Points? Yes, he could. He's got enough points.
Look at me. I'm Mike Bailey. I got a big head and big teeth.
Big teeth.
The mouth guard.
Wearing mouth guard. Whatever. Now, I did not get to watch AEW this week.
Oh, boy. We're going long tonight, aren't we?
But But there's a Dynamite Wednesday, right?
Yes.
So there's Dynamite Wednesday, and then the Christmas Collision has all the Continental Classic matches.
They have to get to the pay-per-view, so they got to book like 15 of those matches.
Well, everything this weekend at the Hammerstein.
Wait, so Wednesday's a taped show?
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck, they're not going to run out for everybody.
No, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
No, I'm going to spoil it because Mark Order ain't going to do a show Wednesday anyway.
Don't spoil it. Come on.
Come on, we can pretend we're the Mark Order.
Al Day said I was right. It was Adir.
Oh, Al don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I know. He's only from that area. Northern
Alabama and Georgian.
Does he have a Louisiana black snake?
I don't know. Ask. You know him. Probably. He's a giant man. Probably a giant penis.
But is it a black one?
Look at him. Probably not.
Well, you never know.
Unless he just left that out to tan.
Tone it. If I take my drawers off. You can't see it in the dark.
Kyle, does your wife like, what did you just do for 3 hours?
Your wife.
And you're like, listen to this.
Nah, she's used to it.
This is what
she's,
you
wait. She's coming home from work like fucking Brundo's wife. Hey, let's put this on.
My wife told me last week, she almost put in the chat, hey, I'm going into the shower if you need to use the bathroom.
Which, by the way, I support it.
Brando.
Thank you. I knew
HK was giving you shit about the bathroom. It was a pretty big bathroom. Yes. It was a pretty good distance away. So, like, what else are you going to do? Just shit on the floor?
My God, Handsome Kevin was like, oh, it's a four-tile distance. Like, shut up.
I'll tell you, it's take. I got a random text from Patreon supporter Emily Brock Saturday. Quick question. Is Brando's shower clear glass, frosted glass, or a shower curtain?
Well, he's got a curtain.
That's what I said. It's a curtain.
So the conversation's
taken over.
What'd she say? All bets are off. Everything's good.
No, I don't. She must have been having. She wasn't with me.
She's probably she fighting
having a conversation Jesse with somebody else about it.
Jesse was probably like, "No way, I'm not shitting in front of anybody." And Emily's like, "So what? You gotta go. You gotta go." She's a trooper.
I actually have a question for the group.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Have you guys ever, you know, your ladies peeing on the toilet? Maybe you also have to pee. Have you guys ever peed in between their legs while they're peeing?
No.
That's a little weird.
Me neither. That's crazy.
You just broke Handsome Kevin when he hears this.
It was like for fun though. Like it wasn't like, oh, I really need to pee. It was like, oh, isn't this silly, right?
It was for fun. Your wife trusts you enough to let you try and piss between
for
legs?
Funsies.
Did you bank shot it?
Did she not clean the piss up off the toilet after you go in there? Because we all know we're animals.
Y'all.
I pretty much get most of it in the toilet.
So do I. But, you know, sometimes you know.
You hit the abdomen and let it roll in.
Right.
Fill the belly button.
Yeah, like one of those clown games.
Like your head gets bigger.
Yeah.
I'm the mic belly.
I win the stuffed monkey. Yeah.
That's like, what you call it.
Oops.
Oh. Or whatever noise it makes.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. It doesn't pop.
She looks like that fucking dude from the fucking Bangladesh intro to the show.
No, props to you for that, though. Good for you.
Good on you.
It's good to try at least once. It's good team building.
Team building.
Oh, is that what it is? Team building exercise.
Yeah, it's like a ropes course, but different. Yeah,
different. Not the ropes. Kind of ropes I was thinking of, my friend.
Yeah.
I think it'd be weird if she came in and peed between your legs while you were sitting.
No, that'd be hot.
Yeah, I don't know if that's...
She would have to sit on top of you. It would be like an AC Slater thing.
I think a way. I think it's called the Cobra, where they can kind of like manipulate it and...
No, she'd have to sit on the bowl like facing the tank. Like, you know, just kind of sit on your lap that way.
Sure.
Kind of like you could snuggle while you piss together. You
staring at each other's eyes.
Oh my God, lovingly. And then you just start making out while you hear two
cross
trinkles.
The streams.
I just hear the echo of a liquid shit underneath.
Then you realize it's hers.
Yeah. Where does that go? Well, that's the whole thing.
Down the leg.
Yep. Yeah,
you turn into a Cosby, you got a pudding pop.
Whoa. Better than the other way, it would be a Cosby.
Fucking duck.
Quack, quack, am I right? We
get to fucking homework.
Anyway, speaking of shitting down our legs, Black Rain.
Yeah, there you go.
Let me pull up this banner. I got to do that banner. Not breaking news. There we go. Wait, I know where to edit this for the YouTube channel.
Breaking news, shit down the leg.
Oh!
Whole gravy leg. Do the gravy leg. Do the gravy leg.
All right, there we go. Goblin.
Tony, you took us back to Impact of 2007, the Silent Night, Bloody Night, Barbed Wire Christmas Tree match with Relic, Abyss, Sharkboy, and Black Rain.
Fuck yeah, I did.
Why?
Well, the impetus was I was looking for Christmas matches, and I thought the mistletoe on a pole Divas match was a little too short and not very well developed for a homework segment. However, I casted a wide net, didn't realize this entire episode of Impact was Christmas based, but the one that caught my eye was the barbed wire Christmas tree. So when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And I went with this one because I found it interesting. And I watched it and I found it interesting.
I need to know. How did TNA get away with having a white dude rip off fucking the Great Muta? straight rip off the Great Muta.
How do you know he was a white dude? He was in a mask.
He was not wearing a shirt or long pants. I could see his white pasty skin with his very memorable tattoo on the arm giving away who he is.
This is right after he came from All Japan working from the Great Muta too. So
was he doing like a an evil Muta while he was in Japan?
I don't think so. I think he wasn't Johnny Stamboli.
Yeah, he was the Great Gouda. Can we write that down, please?
Oh yes, we can.
I mean, I don't know. And the fucking dummy spits the mist before the match starts.
Why? Like, yeah, he had it loaded up. He could have used it on Shark Boy.
What an asshole.
This is why he was never a champion.
I'll point out some things to start before I toss it to you guys. You know what? Fuck it. Let's toss it to you guys first. I'll let you guys give me your piece.
Okay. Just for some clarity, I did find out. Following his release, Hugger began wrestling for All Japan, and then his friend Troy Endress was portraying a fake Great Muta. He had to retire after tearing both of his anterior crucial ligaments, and he nominated Hugger to replace him. So he was the Great Muta mask guy, and then he lost it in December of 2004 to Muta.
So he was doing a version of this relic gimmick.
Yeah, like three years before this match. More.
Did right? you know yeah. Relic is killer spelled backwards?
That's what they told me.
Shit.
Right.
I feel like they never tell you that.
I'm more interested in creative, like who asked him, like, hey, you still got that Muta mask at home? Why don't you bring it? I got an ideal.
By the way, there were two people in this match that spit out red liquid. Like, you got to figure that out. You can't have two guys doing that.
One of them wasn't in the match, but I pick up.
But he was in the he was in the segment. Yeah, you're right.
He didn't really spill it out either. He kind of just dribbled it.
Yeah.
How did Sharkboy fit into this equation?
Someone's got to lose.
That's a great question.
They said something about like Matt Morgan punishing him, but he's already beaten up, but now he's got to be in this match. So I guess Matt Morgan was booking at this point. I don't know.
He probably won like commissioner on a pole or something like that a couple weeks earlier.
So this whole thing aligns with the timeline of my podcast when on the TNA that I'm covering. So I already watched this just by myself a few weeks ago, watched it again. And man, yeah, it was just as good as I remember, which was not that good. But
Kyle, do you have any of the backstory as to what was going on, like getting into this match? Like, I know we got the whole thing with the evil guy, with fucking Macias and all this. I don't even know what
James
the fuck
Mitchell.
I don't know what they're calling him at this point, but go ahead.
Well, so this whole episode was very much like almost non-canon because it was a Christmas episode. It was on Christmas. So they had this match. There was a steel cage with like Christmas lights on it. There was a women's match that it was like,
women's.
Woman's and there was like a trunk with presents in it, and there's weapons in there too. So it was all like goofy and campy, and like in between all these matches, there was like a Christmas party backstage that was happening.
Jeez,
oh, Eric Young was hosting it. He was waiting for Santa to come, and Samoa Joe destroys everything. So it was very much like just a silly, like low brain power episode, which is most of what TNA is. Going into this match, I mean, yeah, they're building on the Abyss Judas Messias thing, which is like the main story, which at this point, James Mitchell has just broken up with Abyss. Has got a new creature from the pits of hell, Judas Messias. And James Mitchell also he knows that Abyss has a secret that he avoids telling everybody, and he's trying to get him to tell the secret. We don't know what the secret is, but Judas Messias is here to kind of beat the secret out of him. And then Shark Boy's here.
So let me ask you this then. What is the thought process? If anyone can answer, why not just put Macias in a match with a barbed wire fucking Christmas tree against Abyss and just make it a straight up one-on-one, let them beat the shit out of each other instead of fucking giving us Relic, which is killer spelled backward, by the way, and Shark Boy and a festively plump Black Rain.
Also, like, what? it seemed on commentary, were they explaining that Black Rain and Relic were like working to, like they were one in the same? Did I make that up?
They were a tag team, I think.
So why are they in it together?
Black Rain, and I quote, or I'm sorry, Relic is Black Rain's deepest, darkest nightmare. That's the extent of the character explanation of Relic. They don't really explain who Relic is, why he's aligned with Black Rain. And it's like, okay, he's like kind of an extension of Black Rain. But then why is Relic trying to break up the pin of Black Rain pinning the guy? Like, why is Relic going to win over Black? Not a lot of this made sense.
No. Black Snake Alan Day asks, but does James Mitchell bring his own eight ball for the Christmas show?
He should have. The tree was in the middle of the ring, and then all the weapons were wrapped in presents. They completely missed Sharkboy taking out, or no, Killer taking out the Relic, whatever his fucking name is. They completely missed him opening the first present because Abyss and
Black Rain
were fighting outside the ring, so they missed that, and it was a golf club, it looked like, and then Sharkboy hit Relic with it, and the club head fell off.
He hit him so hard.
Hey, MB wants to know, was Sharkboy in the Prince Justice Brotherhood with Super Eric and Curry Man?
Not quite yet. No.
Not quite yet. Okay.
We're getting there. There's
somebody on this panel that could answer that question blows my mind.
So Sharkboy has been bandaged up and casted up for like months at this point. It's like a running gag because he got beat up by the Dudley Boys. He got put through a table and then hit with a chair.
Of course he did.
And then, so now he's just been injured for a long time. I don't know when he starts doing the Stone Cold thing. I think that's soon after this. But
he gets concussed into that, doesn't he, or something?
That's very possible. Great. Yeah.
What?
So Shark Boy looking kind of pudgy, all bandaged up. Black Rain, who looks like he ate Black Rain. I mean, Relic looks good. You know, it's Killer spelled backward. And and then Abyss and commentary really fucking annoyed me. Commentary is supposed to like let the audience figure out what's happening, but when one satchel comes out and they're like, is that the tax or is that the glass? It's like, can you just fucking let him open the bag first? Can't you just say, he's got a bag, this can't be good, instead of fucking giving away the pony, right? Or winning the pony, whatever. And then the next bag comes out and they go, well, there's the glass, we knew it was coming. Fuck me running, dude.
Yeah.
So there's
You're supposed
nobody
to let the audience figure shit out. Let them fill in the blanks. You fucking put the canvas in front of them. Let them paint by numbers. And then you could go, oh, brother, now we got trouble. Now you can say, there's tax. Hey, Don, there's tax. And he goes for another bag. And he goes, well, we got tax in one bag. I can't imagine what's going to be in this bag. Let the audience think like, oh, I know, it's going to be glass because blah, blah, blah. They're doing stuff with tax and glass. And then sure enough, by the way, was that glass very shiny or was it just me? That shit was sparkling like diamonds when it came out and fucking hit the canvas. I was like, what kind of fucking fake ass glass is
this? It's the bright lights of the impact zone, brother. It just beams off of it.
And on top of that, correct me if I'm wrong, no one wound up going in the glass, did they?
No. So I think I can explain this. At this point, basically, Abyss brings out the tax basically every single match at this point.
Well, why not?
So I'm not saying it's a good reason, but at this point, when Abyss has a fucking satchel, everybody knows it's going to be tax.
Story time!
Yep.
I was
There's nobody in wrestling that's gone through more tax than Abyss in the history, probably, at this point.
I heard a door open. Who just came in?
Nobody.
Oh, man, nobody. I heard a door. I thought maybe somebody was coming in while Brundo was shitting.
Brundo's not
in the bathroom.
That is his shower curtain, HK. Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I see the H and I see the K, and that J is just kind of like disappearing on my screen.
Yeah. Disappearing. Elusive J.
Fucking A.
I'm
just going to call him Handjob from now on.
There was no Janice. Is Janice the thing yet in this?
Not yet.
Yeah, no. But the baseball bat with the barbed wire, like
Janice has not been born, but you know what has? Darkness Falls, which made an appearance in this match. I don't know if you guys caught that.
Was that the thing with the point on the stick?
Darkness Falls, not a thing. Yes, it's like a pipe, a pipe with the big you know,
horn. Yes. With the pointy thing horn on top. I saw that.
Yeah, horn. Almost it's axe adjacent.
Yeah, it's a pike horn,
basically.
A pike, a crooked pike. Yes, but he never hits the guy with the spike. He always hits him with like the head of it because he's a big dumb idiot.
Weird.
Sounds about right. Speaking of eight balls, Justin Rhodes at this time. Jeez.
This was it was an easy watch. It was short.
It was like 6 minutes, I think.
I give it that. Yeah, I think the intros were just as long as the match.
Oh my god. Yeah. But I tell you what though, they put some effort into like having the fucking the Tron, whatever you call it, like actually on the screen, and then the guy walks to the ring. I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah. A hanging Christmas tree with barbed wire, that's a lot of fun.
It's deadly. Dangerous.
And Relic was able to stop himself when he got Irish whipped into it by holding on to it. A thing that was floating in the air, he was able to stop by holding on to it.
That's why he's a killer.
Did you know Relic is killer spelled backwards?
I did not. I was not aware.
I heard that once.
I heard it on commentary. Was that Don West and Mike TNA?
Of course it was.
Sure was, pal. Sure was.
It was fucking, it was not as annoying as fucking Michael Cole and Stu Bennett, but pretty fucking annoying.
Well, fucking.
Oh, one last point. So Judas Macias comes out.
Yep.
And he fucks up a Abyss. But then Sharkboy eats the pin. Why would you not let fucking Abyss take the loss so he has more of a reason to get a revenge on James Mitchell? Why not?
It's TNA.
Yeah. My last note I wrote down, this is a mess. This is TNA.
I think that was their slogan in 2007.
Yeah. Not just 2007.
Yeah, we're
your first year you have midgets banging off in a trash can. It's
banging
a
off
downhill. Yeah.
Sure. I've never heard it called banging off.
I think I just made that up.
Midgets banging off. Sons of bitches. I mean, for what it was fine. I didn't.
Yeah, it was a fun, silly match. It didn't really serve any, like, it wasn't going to be an epic or a crazy match.
I've seen worse in TNA.
Yeah, you know what? I had a couple lulls. I had a few chortles. Sure. I thought it was silly enough. Yeah. I do like that Sharkboy was hitting everybody with weapons, and then to take him down, he was doing that like knee pressed against the head fall, and that's finally what knocked everyone down while he was in the ring. So, yeah, kudos to him.
I can't believe Sharkboy was so like he had such a lengthy career.
Oh, one last point. Did you guys notice Fat Honky Tonk Man / Dean Ambrose in the crowd? The guy with the fucking the guy with the white wife beater on.
No.
Oh my god!
I did not catch it. I'll have to watch it a third time, I guess.
Yeah, no,
don't do that to yourself, Kyle.
He's behind the ring, but just off. He's like to the right, and he stands the entire match. I swear to God, it's Honky Tonk Man with a white tank top, but he's got sort of like Dean Ambrose mixed in too. It's fucking hilarious.
Could have been Dean Ambrose.
I only noticed it on my second watching myself. I didn't catch him the first time.
Fucking awesome.
Fake Dean Ambrose? Fucking awesome.
I think so.
Well, I'll give it a thumbs up, Tony.
Yeah, I do too. I enjoyed it for what it was.
Big thumbs.
Yeah, we got there. It wasn't unanimous, but we got there.
Yeah, even though Relish wins with like the shittiest jackhammer of all time, but yeah, big thumbs up.
It was not the shittiest jack. It was not the best, but it wasn't the worst.
Yeah. Fair point.
So for homework next week, I'm going to use the Peacock one last time for you guys, and we're going to go back to another December pay per view WWE. In Your House, Seasons, Beatings. And we're going Bret Hart, British Bulldog for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship.
Nice.
That is your homework assignment. I think it was In Your House 5. Bret Bulldog.
I got to take the gimmick down. I found Dean Honky.
You found Dean Honky. All right, let me take the banner down.
I hear.
Ha ha ha!
Am I wrong?
Nope.
Man. He almost looks like fucking, not Will Mercy or Jesus.
Waylon Mercy.
Yes.
Yeah. Good
call. And what a fucking sad Christmas tree. Jesus.
It had lights on it, but they weren't lit up.
How do you barbed wire. Have any
pine needles.
It's barbed wire. What, you want ornaments on it, you jack off?
Yeah. What if you ever fucking fall on a glass ornament? That'll fuck your day up.
No, have you?
His wife fucking power bombs him into the fucking Christmas tree.
I feel like it's definitely something, some indie deathmatch thing.
Oh, 100%. I guarantee you there's going to be 400 matches like that this weekend around the country.
Christmas chaos. IWA
Mid-South, 100%.
Christmas chaos. There's 40 Christmas chaoses going on between now and Christmas Eve. Christmas chaos. Eat a
hell
shit.
Yeah. Love it.
Kyle, why did you put the names up? Kyle, before we wrap up, man, what do you got coming up on the apron bump this week?
Well, I'm taking the rest of the year off, but if anybody wants to delve into my archives, got lots of old wrestling, all sorts of promotions big and small across four different decades. Go check it out wherever you listen, on YouTube, all that jazz.
Well, we appreciate you sitting in, being fourth mic. I hope you had a good time.
Always appreciate the invites. Bull was a hoot. You guys were hoots. And yeah. Hail Satan.
Now I'm thinking of Alicia Toots because you keep saying hoots.
I think a toot's still on the mind. So
Tony, you all in on the AEW White Castle crossover?
What is this?
You get a title if you buy some AEW White
Castle. No, you get what's the it starts, I think it starts tomorrow.
A tournament? Really?
No, it's the AEW Bacon Brawl combo. Starts on the 27th. And why, runs all through January.
Why are we putting bacon on fucking White Castles? Why?
You get two bacon cheese sliders, a small.
Why? Slider.
Guess who's on the promo picture? Three wrestlers.
Tony Storm.
No.
John Moxley.
Yes.
Adam Page.
Yes.
Two and Dobby.
No, Dobby. No. Go back to the, what?
Samoa Joe.
No, go back to the Tony Storm area.
Area? Oh, Mina Shirakawa?
No.
Oh, it's Mina Shirakawa?
No, it's not Mina. It's
Mercedes Moan.
Yes, the money. Oh,
yeah, of course, because she looks like she fucking shits bricks, fucking eating White Castles. Fuck out of here. Does she have her fucking 24 fake titles on the picture, too?
It's down
she's
to 10.
Lost two of them. Yeah.
Yep.
Good. She's a fucking loser. You know, I was looking at myself when I was talking to Bull Buchanan. I think I'm rivaling her for fucking large forehead. I really do. I mean, look at this.
Some of that money.
Look at this. Like four fingers. That's a lot of fucking real estate there. Oh, maybe it's like three.
It's like four tiles.
That's a little. That's. I thought you said four Kyles. I was like, that's mean.
Whoa, come on now. Like,
what the fuck, dude? That dude
wasn't even mean.
I know.
I like bacon brawl combo. I'm in.
No. Dude, what's wrong with the fucking regular cheeseburger White Castles? Nothing.
Nothing's wrong with it.
You don't need to improve on it.
But what's wrong with bacon? Bacon makes everything better.
No.
What do you mean no?
You know what bacon goes on? A BLT. That's what makes a BLT.
So if you went to the steakhouse and you were doing Rodizio and they brought in a filet wrapped in bacon, you'd be like, nah, I'm good.
No, because that's the gimmick. But a White Castle is a White Castle. Why would you put bacon on a White Castle?
Would you put
everybody has bacon burgers at this point?
No, but not.
So you've never strayed from an original White Castle or a White Castle with cheese. You get just those things.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get the chicken rings, but that's a side.
Chicken rings never got like a real thing.
Chicken rings is absolutely a real thing.
We had chicken rings. I brought them with me.
Yes, but that's not like a real thing. That's a made-up thing.
I consume them. They're not fake.
But there's no, you can't use a fake chicken ring farm.
Are these Asian chicken wings?
Oh, my God. What the fuck? I'm going to allow it because the Asian guy said it, but Jesus.
You would Christ. Never have a White Castle cheeseburger with the jalapeno cheese.
No. Why?
That was actually really good. You wouldn't have the
I'd rather eat those tofurkey burgers that fucking Handsome Kevin eats.
Ugh. Ugh. So no ghost pepper burgers then.
No, fuck no. When I go to White Man, I'm like, hey, you got jalapenos? Fuck no. Give me four of them shits. Load them up with onions.
Yep. Ugh. Four doubles onions.
No, not ketchup. Even doubles, dude. You're just asking for a fucking coronary.
I'm not dead yet.
But still, four singles. Come on. Good point, and a plate of fries with the ketchup squirted all over the top. That's and a fountain soda. Got to get the fountain soda.
I usually get the milkshake.
See, Jesus Christ. You want me to fucking strap a rocket to your back? I'll aim you toward Hackensack? Jesus.
Yeah. Don't fucking judge him, Tony.
I feel no, I'm worried about him.
Why?
I have it like once a year. So
four doubles and a cheeseburger to wash him down. Good lord. No,
four doubles and a milkshake, you retard.
A milkshake. Yeah, well, she probably gets another one.
Wash him down with a cheeseburger. Blend it up.
What do you, Kyle? You got White Castles down there? Or what do you got?
No, no White Castles. I've been to White Castle, huh?
Crystals?
No crystals. I don't even know what that is.
What the fuck do you?
Yeah, what do you?
We got what do we got over here? We got Popeyes. We got Bojangles.
Mr. Bojangles.
Tard.
What?
Burger joint, not fucking chicken places.
They got burgers there, I think. Burger places. We got Hardee's. We got I don't think we got anywhere fun. Five Guys. Five Guys.
Oh, that's right, tell me that.
Yeah. I went to White Castle once. Not impressed, personally. But not
impressed. All right. I guess
no. We fair. Used to, because they sell like the frozen White Castle things here. No, I'm saying because I had those as a kid. Then I went to California, had a real White Castle.
That's not same real.
Same thing.
California White Castle's not real.
Or it was whatever. It was Nevada, maybe. I don't remember. It was somewhere over there. Had a White Castle. It was like just the same as like a frozen one that you can find at a
no, not true Costco. Because they don't put pickles on the ones that you get frozen.
I'll buy my own pickles.
Not the same.
I like them apples.
Not the same.
I bet they are, but they're close.
You know, I'll tell you something. Romantic hand job. I did that on purpose. White Castle. I don't know if they did it last year, but they had a gimmick where you can.
Tony,
you can reserve a table for Valentine's Day and take your best gal for table service White Castle. You'll get a linen tablecloth with like little frilly stuff on it. You get like a little fucking flower on your table. They have candles and they set the mood lights.
It's so tempting every year.
I know.
Yeah.
Never did it. So, you know, I'm still married.
Have a little co-diarrhea at the same time. What better way to celebrate our love? Yeah.
Sit on your lap. Canoodling on the fucking on the throne.
There's a gobbler for you.
Fuck yeah.
It's a good call.
Gravy all over the place. I agree.
Love gravy.
love gravy. Writing that down.
Love gravy. We hope everybody has a safe, happy, healthy holiday. Enjoy your time with your family and friends. And if you just spend it alone,
don't spend it alone. Call us.
No, don't call.
Want me to give out Handsome Kevin's phone number?
No, he doesn't even know how to answer
though, anyway.
The reason for the season is pleasing, and somebody's sucking my dick.
Well said, HK. Well said.
He really likes getting his dick sucked, huh?
Yeah, I think he talks a big game.
Yeah,
dude, I bet you he talks about his nuts. I bet you he's got a fucking hog and a half.
Somebody's sucking my dick.
I bet you they got to fucking get down on the floor to fucking reach the tip.
In the bathroom.
Fuck yeah, dude. Anywhere you want, brother.
And he looks like a black lab's dick.
If he fucking walked that circle in the basement with no drawers on, it's probably like a fucking one big ring in the middle of his feet steps.
Hey, motherfucker.
He needs the wheelbarrow like South Park.
He's just got a hippity hoppity on his nuts.
Bring me the balls that I remember. I want my balls from memory, right? I want this balls.
This eat balls. All right, are we done? It's fucking 10 o'clock. I'm fucking tired. Jesus Christ. I still
Yeah, well, you tomorrow. Get to do a lot.
All right. Fucking Double T will do this all fucking night. I keep putting that thing up. Who wants the pleasure to say goodnight to my mom tonight?
Oh, fuck it, I'll do it.
All right, Brundo, you're up. And with that, let's cue that motherfucking music.
And fucking stutter over that, can you?
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network.
Oh, God.
For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
We'd like to thank those that support us over our Patreon. Executive producer Manny Kratz, our producers Kate Hensler, High Fuck Time, Ryan Schlong, Al Day, Kathy Hummer, Michael Hammond, Keith Parker, David, Henry Bauer III, I Dunk Biscuits, Emily Brock, Jesse Elwell. Thank you all for your continued support.
Diana, I think I'd have to fuck Hardcore Holly.
Double T's a real ladies, man. I almost had to reset the clock.
Fucking loser. I am the cat comer. Fucking whore. Stage.
Yeah! I'm into wearing shirts that pee pee.
I have a small dick.
Here, take a look at this asshole.
He's fat!
I was expecting to get at least a little bit more of a hammering on Saturday.
Oh, shit. God, you.
Dude, I am so backed up.
God damn!
Spend the next 45 minutes on the fucking porcelain throne. Praying to the gods of fucking anal openness.
Grab his dick and twist it!
I'm gonna Benoit that shit.
Correct! Ding!
Nope, no, had no interest in seeing any of that.
You have AIDS.
That would hurt.
No! Fuck no!
I was gonna say, that those were some dead eyes there.
I love the big package.
Not six. Let's put up.
A... What? January 6th.
What the fuck did you do?
Lots of spoons in the porch there.
You cocksucker!
Sexy Kevin and me, too.
Oh my.
Like a needle through like a vulva?
Lick him a balls.
Kind of, you know, you are kind of into weird stuff.
Merry Christmas, you filthy fucks.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
Shit.